gravity waves may be the one thing that transparently moves between multiple dimensions. Most theoretical physicists now, as you know, believe in multiple dimensions, and gravity waves may be the one thing that move without difficulty between them. It's pretty good logic. And if it's true, we're just now beginning to study and have not actually yet measured gravity waves nor the speed of gravity. However, we're beginning. And if we're able to measure gravity waves, determine what's common to us, and then figure out what is not common to us, then we may actually be able to either at one end of the spectrum communicate with another dimension, or at the very least, essentially map another dimension. In other words, the gravity waves would be coming from things with mass, right? So we could study them, and we could literally graph the physical dimensions of another universe. It's an incredible idea and totally worthy. Looking at the news briefly, hardly worth looking at. Baghdad violence, of course. 29 people killed Sunday, including 3 American soldiers, and mortar fire rumbled through the heart of Baghdad after sundown, despite stringent security measures that were imposed after the explosion of sectarian violence. A ban on any driving in Baghdad and its suburbs. No driving. Helped prevent any major attacks during daylight, but nighttime came and kaboom. The port dispute. The Bush administration said Sunday it's going to accept an extraordinary offer by the United Arab Emirates-based company to submit to a second and much broader U.S. review of potential security risks in its deal to take over significant operations at least 6 leading American ports. The plan will avert impending political showdowns. Now, I'm sure they were advised to do exactly that by the administration when holy hell broke loose. Iraqi police conducted raids in a search of kidnapped American journalist Jill Carroll on Sunday, the deadline set for her captors, for the U.S. to meet the demands or she dies. Well, there's no word on whether she did in fact die. The 28-year-old freelancer for the Christian Science Monitor was kidnapped January 7th in Baghdad and was last seen in a videotape broadcast February 9th. In a moment, the rest of the news, as Paul would say. By the way, this hour is going to be, when we get to it, open lines. And once again, a warning, next hour, Aaron Donahue, he's a Luciferian, and that's no joke. In other news, France has confirmed the deadly bird flu virus H5N1 has been found on a turkey farm in the east of their country. It is the first time a European Union farm has been infected. France has already had cases in 2 wild ducks. About 80%, more than 11,000 birds at that farm have died on their own in the past week. The rest have been culled. Despite assurances that cooked poultry is safe, sales in France, as you might imagine, have fallen by about 30%. Japan announced an import ban with immediate effect. In other words, no more. In Canada, geese are literally falling out of the sky in and around Kaiser, and the wildlife experts up there have no idea why. About 150 Canadian geese were found dead Friday at a private pond off Wheatland Road owned by Morse Brothers, rock products in rural Marion County. 30 or so other dead birds discovered 3 months ago near Sats Lake, a private lake near Kaiser. Wildlife officials said that in recent weeks, large numbers of dead geese also have been found in Mammoth and McMinnville. They don't know if the incidents might be related. There are a number of other possibilities here, including avian cholera. All 3 areas, Kaiser, Mammoth, and McMinnville, are in the vicinity of Salem, Oregon. Since geese have been dying over an extended time period and an extended region, infectious disease cannot be ruled out. Canada geese falling out of the sky sounds remarkably like the pigeon story we had not long ago, falling out of the sky. Speaking of creatures, falling rain on the surface of the ocean. This is an amazing story. Falling rain on the surface of the ocean can be heard more than a mile deep. And at some frequencies, it's louder than passing ships, according to an oceanographer named Jeff Knutson. Knutson of the Applied Physics Lab at the University of Washington is among scientists studying how sound travels through the ocean to better understand how loud man-made noises might affect marine creatures. We don't really know what is too loud underwater, and we need to know what the baseline is, he said. Loud underwater noises, particularly U.S. Navy sonar, of course, have long been blamed by environmentalists for the fatal beachings of whales. In Maine, people in Somerset County are seeking answers after feeling earthquake-like tremors this week. The Somerset County Communications Center got calls Thursday morning from at least a dozen residents who reported tremors, things going on in the earth in a 15-mile radius in Anson, make that Anson, Madison, Shawangan, and a place that I'll never pronounce, but state officials said there weren't any earthquakes that were documented by the New England Seismic Network, which tracks earthquake activity. So the ground be moving, but they don't know why. Robert Higgins, director of Somerset County Emergency Management, said that he wants a second look. People in Ceylon the previous week reported hearing an unexplained loud explosion that shook homes. He said, I'd like them to relook at what might have happened. This is the second occurrence in less than a week of such magnitude. The town manager said that Thursday's event sounded something like a dumpster had fallen off a truck, or a truck had hit the office building, the town office building, but that nothing could be found when employees went outside to see what happened. More than a mile away, Jeffrey McGowan said he felt shaking in his office, but he too couldn't find the cause. He said it felt like somebody with a delivery type of vehicle had backed into the building. So big shaking going on there. Something going on in the earth. Snow. Snow that some residents described as, get this, chocolate brown in color, was reported across parts of Colorado Thursday, apparently the result of a windstorm in northern Arizona that kicked up a bunch of dust that then fell with the snow overnight. It's pretty much statewide, said Ethan Green, director of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. We've had reports from the San Juans, Winter Park, in fact, all over. Green said it's not unusual to see plumes of reddish dust from the southwest drop on the Rocky Mountains in the spring. I've certainly never seen anything like that. Have you? Now, there is a rock out there. I wonder if you've heard about it. It's called Pophilus. It's 390 meters wide, and in 31 years, it could plow into earth. In Egyptian myth, Pophilus was the ancient spirit of evil and destruction, a demon, in fact, that was determined to plunge the world into eternal darkness. A fitting name, astronomers reason for a menace that's now hurtling toward Earth from outer space. Scientists are monitoring the progress of a 390-meter-wide asteroid discovered last year that's potentially on a collision course with the planet. And they're imploring governments to decide on a strategy for dealing with it now. NASA has estimated that an impact from Apophis, which has an outside chance of hitting Earth in 2036, would, get this, release more than 100,000 times the energy released in the nuclear blast over Hiroshima. Thousands of square kilometers would be directly affected by the blast, but the whole of Earth would see the effects of the dust released into the atmosphere. Scientists insist there's actually very little time left to decide. At a recent meeting of experts in near-Earth objects, NEOs, in London, scientists said it would take up to decades to design, test, and build the required technology to deflect that asteroid. Monica Grady, an expert in meteorites at the Open University, said, quote, it's a question of when, not if, a near-Earth object collides with Earth, end quote. Many of the smaller objects, of course, break up when they hit the Earth's atmosphere, and we have no impact. However, an NEO larger than 1 kilometer wide will collide with Earth every few 100,000 years, and an NEO larger than 6 kilometers, which would cause mass extinction, will collide with Earth every 100 million years, and said she, we are overdue for the big one. How will Earth look if it hasn't been demolished in 1,000 years? From Times Online, it'll look like Water World, an apocalyptic vision of life 1,000 years from now, has been painted by a team of scientists studying the effects of global warming. If mankind does not put its house in order, temperatures could have risen by 15 degrees centigrade, that's 27 degrees Fahrenheit, by the year 3000, sea levels by more than 11 meters, 36 feet, flooding much of London. The team from the Tyndall Center for Climate Change Research says in a report for the Environmental Agency, abrupt changes could make Britain much, much hotter, or even, such is the uncertainty of these predictions, first colder and then hotter. This could happen if the North Atlantic current system should collapse, denying Britain the warming effect of the Gulf Stream. Ocean surface temperatures would fall by 3 degrees centigrade, 5.4 Fahrenheit, but as the Arctic sea ice melted, they would rise again by 8 degrees centigrade, 14.4 Fahrenheit, in an abrupt turnabout. That would be over a period of no more than 20 years. Can you imagine that? No more than 20 years. Satellite observations indicate that Greenland's glaciers have been dumping ice into the Atlantic Ocean, brace yourself, at a rate that has doubled over the past 5 years. Now, this is what I keep pounding in as we observe all of these different things going on around us. Normally, you would expect these kind of stats to be over, at the very least, a lifetime, 100 years, millennia, 1,000 years, whatever. But no. The rate of water from the glaciers has doubled over the last 5 years. The findings add yet another factor to the long-running debate over the effect of climate change on the world's ice sheets and sea levels. The evolution of the ice sheet in the context of climate warming is more rapid than has been predicted by models. So even the models are slow compared to, you know, what really seems to be going on. From Live Science, there is a new study showing that a mother's genes may affect her son's sexual orientation. Researchers studied about 100 mothers with gay sons and compared their DNA to 100 mothers with non-gay sons. Women have two X chromosomes, while men have an X and Y, but in heterosexual men, the X chromosome is inactive. This is a random process, which is why the number of girl and boy babies born is roughly equal. Half the eggs in a woman's body will have one deactivated X chromosome and the other half not. You know, there was an author who was saying that was not exactly true, and eventually there's going to be a whole lot more women than men, and men eventually will, well, disappear. Anyway. Researchers called chromosomes from women who had at least two gay sons, about 23% of the total. They found that all these women's cells contained deactivated X chromosomes. Only about 13% of the mothers with only one gay son showed this deactivation. This means that the mother is the one whose body determines if her son will be gay. So having a gay son must confer some benefit to the mother. An Italian researcher using only statistics found that in Italian families with large families, especially those with many sons, the older boys were more often gay, meaning that gayness may confer an increased fertility on the mother, especially when it comes to producing boys. Gay males are often the oldest children in large families. So I thought that was all quite interesting, and yet another step suggesting that the gay lifestyle may not be one of choice, but one of genetics. Now, as far as females are concerned, I think the scientists currently believe it is a matter of hormonal balance or imbalance, depending on how you want to look at it. All very interesting stuff. The longer we live and we continue with science, the more we find out. Now, I'm about to start to pick up open lines here. That means if you'd like to call and say something, you're more than welcome to do it. As many or most of you, I think, know, a couple of months ago now almost, I lost my wife, and I would ask that you not give me condolences. I've had, you know, probably 11 or 12,000, and I'll never be able to thank all of you for sending them. But here on the air, If you would please refrain from that, I would certainly appreciate it. And with that note, let's pick up a line and see what awaits. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, this is Art.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. It's an honor to speak with you.
And you, sir. Welcome. Where are you?
I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I love the show. I've been listening for years, and I love it. It's great. But I've got to disagree with your guest. You're going to have one tonight.
Oh, he hasn't even gotten on yet, so
no.
How can you disagree with him?
Yeah, well, the fact that he's a Luciferian, I just think you're doing a disservice to your listeners by having him on.
Oh, I disagree completely. I think that the more knowledge we have about what exists in the world, the better informed we are about what's out there, the more we're able to deal with the world directly. So I don't think it's a disservice. I think it's just information. And, you know, as I said, warning, 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 you're free to disregard it.
Right. No, that's true. And I will listen tonight, but...
Oh, and you'll hate every minute of it, but you'll listen.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting on Coast to Coast. But I do have to say, I don't know if you are much of a follower of Edgar Cayce.
Sure.
And if you know his readings at all,
I do. Is the answer
right? And you would know that he had always said that Jesus was the master and Jesus was the way.
Mm.
So,
well, then why not? Quote the master? Why quote Cayce? Quote the master. You want to combat Lucifer? Go to the big guy.
Well, I think that's somebody that we all. At least your listeners could relate to.
I see.
Somebody from the past 100 years.
Are you thinking Jesus has been gone too long to relate to anymore?
There is a lot of misinformation, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll imagine you sitting out there cringing in front of your radio.
All right. Hey, you got to ask him the tough questions, though, Art.
Well, hey, that's what
Right. I'm glad you're on tonight.
That's what I'm here for, brother. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, who is this again?
Who are you? Well, let's try it backwards. Who were you calling?
Oh.
Yes.
Coast to Coast.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Okay. Cool. Is that you?
Well, not tech. I'm just one of the guys on Coast to Coast. But yes. And when I say you're on the air, that has big meaning.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yes.
Oh, this is Richard in Seattle.
Hey, Richard.
I just called to ask you what sparked your interest in the supernatural.
Huh. Oh, what a very good question. What sparked my interest in the supernatural? I think the fact that it's real because I've experienced it. Turn your radio off for me.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. Again, the answer is that it's real. I've experienced it myself. And when you experience something that you totally cannot explain, you know, if you're not interested, then you're brain dead.
Oh, I've also experienced it myself.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I was just curious because I listen to your show all the time, and I have been interested for a while. One of my friends, he listens to it, and he showed it to me. But
he showed what to you?
Oh, Coast to Coast.
Oh, the show, yes.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've been a fan for a few, almost a year. And
okay, well, I think the answer is, because we're running out of time, that clearly if something happens to you, so out of the ordinary, a craft is 150 feet above your head, or you have an experience of precognition, or you have an out-of-body experience, or something like that happens to you. Boy, here's another one. Linda in Yokosuka, Japan, says, "Love your art, but very much like your other caller, I don't listen to Luciferians or any other devilish type people. Have better things to fill my mind with. See you next week. Love to the kiddies. Linda in Japan." Huh. Well, Linda, I fully understand. That's why I gave the warning. I think it's a good idea to keep an eye on the other side. Even the Catholic Church keeps a very sharp eye, you know, on what they're doing. And I'm not really afraid to explore anything. That's what the very basis of this program. And we go from one side, the Catholics, for example, and the Father Martin types, all the way to the other side, and virtually everything in between. It is the very nature of this program. First time caller line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
My name's Diane, and I'm calling from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hi, Diane.
I was just glad to hear about what happened in Maine, only because we had the same thing happen here about 5 weeks ago.
You mean a whole lot of shaking underground?
Yes. We work out of our home, and I was sitting here, and there's speed bumps outside, and I thought, oh, my gosh, there's construction into the street and that dumpster truck. It's funny you said dumpster because that's exactly what it sounded like. The mm-hmm. dumpster truck's having trouble, so I peered out the window, and there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I started calling some friends, and normally when we have noises and shaking around, I live about 200 feet from the Atlantic Ocean, and they say it's the Seneca guns, the plates in the ocean offshore.
I don't know.
But this was totally different, and it happened in the Tri-County area here, way inland, like 40 miles inland. But the weird thing was that on the news that night, they said it was sort of like the Seneca guns, but not really, but they never offered an explanation, and it was curiosity to me that they weren't even curious.
That's because they don't know. And it happens here where I live in the desert as well. I've told this story before. A friend of mine built a porch on his house, and he sunk, you know, some great big, bigger than 2x4s, I don't know what they'd be, into the ground. And his house began vibrating every night so badly he could not sleep. There are things going on underground in this country, Linda, and we don't know what they are.
Okay, and that's why I want to ask you, because I trust you more than anybody I know. I don't even sleep at night because I'm scared to turn the radio off. I sleep with headphones on. So I just wonder if, in your opinion, and I'm 51, a little bit younger than you, and I'm a patriotic American, and up until a few years ago, I had 100% trust in our government, keeping us aware of happenings that would endanger us. I don't expect them to take care of me, but I just want to have enough heads up to where I can take care of my own.
All right. Well, here's what I tell you, Linda. If it comes up, it's going to come up in your closet.
What?
Does that help?
It's going to come up in my closet.
Yeah, that's right. Keep an eye on your closet, Linda, and have a good night's sleep. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Caller.
I'm sorry. I was told to call your show. I am living in a decimated area from Katrina.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're slowly rebuilding, but while I'm working at night, out of the corners of my eyes, never full on, but out of the corners, I see or have been seeing
shadows.
They can run like cats. I'm usually a very down-to-earth person. This is
all right, fine.
Programming something all new to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what I think. Last night I had a very heavy duty physicist on here. She is a qualified believer in the string theory. The string theory basically says that everything is in a vibrational state. And it's very probable that the difference between this dimension and other dimensions are a matter of vibration, a matter of frequency. And it's reasonable to conclude that occasionally, at least it's reasonable for me, not my guest last night, to conclude that occasionally, when a human vibrational state gets to a certain point, you begin to see these things kind of halfway. And I believe these things might be other dimensional. That's my best guess.
Well, they've been here since the night of the storm. Before the storm, we had
Maybe they blew in.
I wish I could have been hearing your show after the storm on anything else that other people might have seen?
Well, let's ask. You know, we've got people listening all over that area, sir, so let's throw it out. Anybody else in the path of that horrible storm begin to see anything unusual after its passage? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello, Art.
Yes.
What
is your first name?
This is Glenn calling from the Rio Grande Valley.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling about the young physicist who was on last night estimating
yes.
The amount of greenhouse gases coming from the our bovine friends.
Yes.
Well, I ran a little thought experiment. And
a thought experiment?
Yeah, regarding the amount of biomass versus, let's say, in pre-Columbian times.
Yes.
Well, that's not fair because we want to go worldwide. So they estimate the population of African elephants in pre-Columbian times at and or up to 100 million.
I see. Lots and lots of methane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we include, there were high civilizations in Asia, which took a toll on the elephant population there. We'll say 50 million.
Even so, sir, I don't think it compares to the commercial farming that we're doing now in the world, the mass commercial farming that we're doing. And I have heard that the amount of methane from cows is not talked about, not estimated, not put into these global warming equations, and that indeed what he had to say last night was really quite on the mark. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know that for sure, but I've heard it from many sources. And I also believe that what I suggested last night to my guest might be true, my second guest, that, or was that my first guest, or both, that there is a substantial amount of methane trapped in the ocean, and that there are certain conditions that could release such material into the atmosphere, and that would be catastrophic. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Daniel in Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm an alien contactee, and I have some information regarding Lucifer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Lucifer is Satan. This is widely taught in the churches.
Yeah, I know. I knew there'd be an objection to that.
But Lucifer was the leader of the choir. He got into a battle with Satan and fled heaven and came to earth in a UFO, which is parked under a lot of ice in Antarctica. He lost in battles at Atlantis and Lemuria.
Now, you know all this from extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials. I've talked to their leader, who the government knows as Semyazi. We're getting.
Why has their leader come to you? Instead of, you know, George Bush or, I don't know.
Well, they are in contact with the Bush administration. They're giving the Bush administration alien technology in exchange for certain concessions. In the days of Egypt, we were used as
like
slaves.
Like what kind of concessions? Are they going to start running ports or what?
They have the technology to enslave us with the Mark of the Beast microchip.
Oh.
But we're getting alien technology in exchange for that. Now, Lucifer was renamed Adam. He genetically engineered Eve, and he is being replaced by Jesus eventually. But Satan is here right now. He's in contact with the United States government. The entire Earth's population is going to be enslaved with the Mark of the Beast.
All right, we're circling now. I got that. So the Mark of the Beast on the way is 666, right? Again, I think it's useful to hear what the other side is saying. And there are not that many people who will ever admit they're a Satanists or Luciferians. And we won't spend a lot of time on that tonight because, that has been done in previous programs. But we will explore it a little bit. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Good morning. I'm a little bit cynical about some of the paranormal and supernatural things you talk about, but I think it's really coming from the right place in as much as I have seeked out from many places and many different sorts of people, Luciferians and all kinds of people, all the way back to the 60s. I've never once been able to, and I put myself in positions to be really had, because I want to experience one supernatural moment of any kind at any, you know, chance possible, just to experience. I have not as much gotten a little dweeb or a Yankel or you know, and I run into these fellas like that was just on the radio.
Well, I think it's like wishing for a pot to boil, sir. You can't.
Well, in as much, honestly, not to be too argumentative, but I'm a very sensitive person. People think of me in a sort of a, when I'm in a mellow state, is more guru-esque and this type of thing. And I have been looking for this in a very subtle or very strong way, just a little bit so I could say, yeah, you know, it is going on. Something is going on. I do get bits and pieces from you and George, and I trust you guys that you do have information that I've not been availed to, and maybe I'm a little bit envious, in fact. So can you just maybe tell us one or two things that have really rocked your world in that regard so I could just listen and learn?
Sure. Sure. I, you know, very quickly, here you go. One, I've had two distinct, one extremely close encounter with a craft over my head by about 150 feet. You know, a large triangular craft. It happened to my wife and I. And then there was yet another craft that we sighted in the contrail of an airplane, here close to our home. And then going back years, I had a case of precognition that was absolutely, completely, totally irrefutable. I've told this story. Sorry to be boring those of you that have heard it before, but I'll do it very quickly. I was living in Santa Barbara, California at the time in a garden-style apartment. My car was parked out just off the sidewalk on the side of the street, and I had the curtains drawn, and I had some of those, you know, sliding glass doors that would open so I could see my car out there, and I came home one night from work, radio work, of course, and I sat down and began watching the evening news. And all of a sudden, it was kind of like ocean waves started rolling over me. Somebody's going to hit your car. Somebody's going to hit your car. I mean, it came in powerful, irresistible waves, and I finally cursed, said a word I can't repeat here, and got up and went over and opened the curtain and looked out. My car was fine, and I said another word I can't repeat, went back and watched the news, sat down, watched the news. Couldn't have been more than 2 minutes later. Here it comes again, just like crashing ocean waves. Your car is about to be hit. Your car is about to be hit. It was overwhelming. So I said another word I can't repeat, got up, went over, opened the curtains, slid open the glass door, watched a guy, my car was fine, watched a guy walking down the sidewalk from the apartments where I was living, walked to the front of my car, got into his car, started the engine, put it in reverse, and slammed right into my car. I sunk to my knees. It shook me to the very core of my being. I sunk to my knees and only got up quick enough to get up and yell, "Hey, I saw that." He said, I'm stopping. But it was irrefutable precognition. Now, if the human brain is capable of that kind of thing, it's capable of all kinds of things. And I know that scientists of the, you know, the hardcore scientists like the one I had on last night, just don't buy into that sort of thing. And they say, and rightfully so, that we need proof. But I'm here to tell you that it really happened. So if that kind of thing happens to you, I don't know whether you would consider yourself lucky or not. It's not a thing that's happened regularly, and it's certainly nothing that, and then of course there was the one out-of-body experience when I was on vacation in Paris. So I've had a number of things in my lifetime that have occurred to me that are just completely inexplicable. And how can you not move forward and investigate once it has happened to you? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
My goodness, you know, I'm 85 years old, and I've had an experience, and I shouldn't say an experience. I had a long experience with UFOs. It sounds really crazy. That's why I'm talking to a believer, and I hope you'll. I just have to tell you that it's a long story. It wasn't that I just saw a UFO for a second. It was a long extracted period of time. They were here a long time, almost a year. And at the end of the year, or at the end, I should say, the last time I saw one, it was one of those things where I just got up, for some reason or other, went to the window, and I saw these things. And I don't know how to start to tell you, because all these years that I've been keeping this without telling people, because most of the times I would be, you know, just made a fool of and didn't, yes, wasn't believed.
Okay, you said you were 85?
I am 85.
85. And how long ago did this occur?
About the middle of the 70s. And I tried to tell so many people. And you, if I can just tell you the beginning.
Well, we're very short on time, so.
I know, that's the thing, you know, and it just started so weird because something tried to get through my roof in my house.
Oh.
It was at night, middle of the night. I was alone with my dog. And it happened 3 weeks in a row, and the third time it happened, it sounded like they were coming through the kitchen ceiling. So I decided to go leave the house and just go out and take my dog. My dog didn't bark, didn't make a sound. I took the dog and went and sat out in my car and was instantly enveloped in a fog that was unbelievable. I can't remember anything after that.
Well, then you probably were abducted.
I wonder, because I can't remember anything after that. But then, the following week, I saw this huge orange ball coming down out of the sky and just sitting sort of in the faraway trees. And I watched that for hours and finally called the police. And the cop came and he looked at it. I'm rushing because there's so much to say.
That's all right. The officer saw it.
Pardon?
I said the officer saw it when he got there.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And now I'm in the middle of nowhere here when I first moved to this town. It was nothing but hundreds of acres of land around here. Absolutely a couple of houses, and that was it. No trees, no woods, no nothing. I mean, everything was all flat farmland.
Right.
And he came and he saw it. I had binoculars. And he said it was like a reflection in some a reflection in some window, a light, street light reflection.
I see.
He left. He said he would go and check it out and never came back. 3 weeks later, I called there, the cops, and of course there was no answer, you know what I mean. So that was the first time, but I have to say that excuse me, that very night after the cop left, I sat in the window and I said I wasn't about to leave the window until I saw it come down. I saw it sit there. I'm looking at it for hours, and I'm not going to leave until I see where it goes and what's going to happen. And I must have blinked, because it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning by this time.
And then it was gone?
No. It was coming toward my house.
Remote viewer trained by Ed Dames, who, by the way, hates him. Well, that's not fair. He doesn't hate him. He says he's crazy. He's an expert within the field of non-historical data. To prepare for this, he spent 3 years in total seclusion, remote viewing, PI, in parentheses, TT. As a consequence thereof, he has developed the ability to accurately remote view numbers, a skill that has allowed him to successfully and consistently win the lottery. His current groundbreaking work is focused upon the study and manipulation of particular numerical trends within specific world markets. Aaron is a certified remote viewing instructor who has recently appeared on TV Asahi in Japan and the Sci-Fi Channel here in Search Of. You know, the Search Of series. He'll also appear briefly in the new movie Suspect Zero, starring Sir Ben Kingsley, Aaron Eckhart, and Carrie Ann Moss of The Matrix. So here he is, Aaron Donahue. Aaron, welcome to the program.
So glad to be here. It's an honor and a privilege to be with the legendary Art Bell.
I wish people would stop calling me a legend.
You are. You're the best. You're a total hero.
Well, that's kind of you to say, but it makes me feel really old. And in fact, I just got not nominated, I'm going to be inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame in August. I just got that word, you know, like a couple of days ago. And that's like being called legend. Lately, when people have been writing newspaper articles about me, they've been using that word, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, you have certainly reached the dark side here, and you are deeply respected from the dark side, by the way.
Oh. Great news. Well, all right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but so that we're all clear on what a Luciferian is, please, what is a Luciferian?
First of all, we differ from the Satanists. Satan is a concept. It's not an actual entity. Lucifer is an entity or the progenitor of the human race. In our mythology, the earth is our mother. We're born of the primordial soup. And Lucifer is an alien that genetically manipulated the human being from a primate to what we are today. We build monuments. Animals don't. Even though we have some animals that are smarter than we are, humpback whale. Yet we have the power to destroy our nature, destroy our environment through choice. And it's our job to evolve. As a Luciferian, we're on the pathway of spiritual and psychological evolution. This is our premise. This is the very core of what we do in our work.
All right. So Lucifer, and by the way, you agree with Ed Dames on that with regard to the entity aspect of it. Ed Dames remote viewed Lucifer and also referred to him as an entity. That's interesting. Why does Ed, by the way, why does Ed think you're crazy?
Well, you know, often the genius is perceived as crazy. Our ideas are perceived as crazy simply because they don't understand us. That's as simple as I can explain it. Ed is simply not a genius. He doesn't understand. He often employs the genius. But when you get someone who's way out there, such as I am, well, this is a convenient label when I make him look bad because my work is better than any of his work, any of his students' work or any work that he could do. Mm. I'm the very best in the world at what I do. And I would like to change that. I would like to have students who are better than me. My philosophy is that, you know, as a good teacher, I'll have people that outdo me. And so we have young lions coming up that will eventually take over, and I'll step aside. Ed Dames hasn't stepped aside for the young lion.
That's
the
true.
Young lion.
No, that's true. And I guess that would be the hope of every master, that he could teach so successfully to have somebody surpass him, of course.
And I've long surpassed them, and I don't care about the acknowledgement. Just he has to step aside and let the young lion take over.
All right. To be clear, Lucifer, then, is the one who genetically manipulated whatever came before modern man, and we have Lucifer, then, to thank for who we are today.
Well, a lot of people would think that we're to thank him for all the mess we're in. Actually, I blame the angel for the mess we're in. The angel is a spiritual parasite that started invading the body of women third trimester over 3,000 years ago. Today, we love the angel. We don't love each other. Mankind has forgotten how to love itself. It loves now the angel only, the angel first. And the angel calls itself God. There are four archangels and four main religions on this planet. And when you worship Christ today, you're not worshiping Christ as it was originally. Christ was a genetically manipulated being, and that relates to a time machine we're going to talk about later on. But Buddha was a genetically manipulated being, Muhammad as well. Those of the Axe Age, you see. Now, the thing is, when you worship Christ today, you're worshiping the angel within.
So are you suggesting that all of the great masters were, in fact, genetically manipulated to be so?
You bet they are. And that relates to something shocking I'm going to reveal to everyone tonight for the first time ever.
Oh?
Yes.
Reveal away.
Well, this concerns a time machine. Now, I do all of my work blind. What I do is I have other people who randomly select subjects, write them down, and seal them in envelopes. I do my best to make sure I have no contact with those people. These envelopes are given to me. I have hundreds of them. And I've gone through at least 2,000 of these envelopes already. So all of my work is done totally blind as a remote viewer in the old days. Today, I use a new technique. Remote viewing is dead because I've replaced something far more efficient. And I use something called PAN, the Practical Application of Non-Historical Data, which employs historical information systems as well. And now, when I do this, I extrapolate information outside of normal awareness, of course, and it's so accurate that I can actually consistently win lottery using this technology.
All right, now, backing up a little bit, the whole envelope thing is traditional.
Yes, it is.
Traditional remote viewing.
You bet it is.
A target number is assigned by somebody to whatever it is they want described, correct? And then they hand the envelope or whatever, or have the envelope, and you go to work on whatever it is. That
I have no idea what it is.
And so in what way is what you're doing now different?
Yes, this is a base, remote viewing, you have to remember, is a base program. We have base programs in computer technology, and that we advance into more sophisticated, more useful programs. We make things more efficient with time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what TAN is. TAN is a rung on the spiritual ladder. It's a source of information that takes you into the higher level of truth, and there are four levels of truth. Remote viewing will barely get you into the first level of truth. PAN will allow you into the second level and sometimes the third level of truth. There are four levels.
Does PAN have the same kind of strict, oversight in a way? In other words, is there a way to have oversight on what you're doing with PAN?
Very strict. We have a strict set of protocols, which are a lot different than the protocols you'd find in remote viewing. These protocols cannot be broken so easily as they are in remote viewing. Now, these protocols, what they do is they allow you to work faster, more efficiently. Because you see, I'm talking to you about something, my mind is thinking much faster than I can speak.
Right.
That often presents a problem. When you're reading something, you're really bogged down. And with remote viewing, this is the analogy. Remote viewing has a set of protocols which holds you back. It allows imagination, and when you're doing the analysis of your work, it allows more problems to enter into the arena of analysis and your data. So what you want to do is you want to speed things up. And that's where we have PAN. You're going as fast as you can go, and you're getting more and more information outside of normal awareness. We have this ritual, of course, that is similar to that of, say, throwing your consciousness a bone. Here, go fetch. Get it out of the way. If your consciousness is busy, then the important things can happen. I realize that's a simple way of explaining this, but we have a soundbite. We have to deal with this.
Well, I know we've got a lot of time. This is long-form talk radio. Now, in traditional remote viewing, you want to keep your ego out of the whole mix and your imagination. How does PAN additionally do this? It's a big problem.
Well, yes, it's always a problem no matter what. And even PAN itself is a very low rung on the spiritual ladder. There are higher rungs. We have more work to do. This must be developed. That's what's exciting about this. Remote viewing is the old way. PAN is the new way. There'll be something to replace this. Ego is still there. We couldn't survive without ego. However, the new way to survive is going to be right brain functioning. This allows you to leak more into right brain functioning. And by the way, prophecy. You're getting closer into exercising the prophetic area of the human brain. Prophecy is not psychic functioning. Psychics cannot see a future. Only prophets can, and these are two distinct areas of the brain. You see, your brain is like a muscle. You exercise this area. If you're conscious of it and you work with it, you can become tuned into it and use it and become proficient. You can be a mental athlete. You can become a psychic athlete and a prophetic athlete if you exercise these areas of the brain. I do this three times a day on a daily basis. I live, breathe, and eat and sleep, psychic functioning and prophecy. So I exercise the prophetic area of my brain, which deals with non-historical systems of information, or PAN. PAN incorporates both historical, which is remote viewing, and non-historical. Remote viewers cannot see the future very well because they don't understand there's a difference between the prophetic area of the brain and the psychic functioning areas of the brain, which, by the way, often, when you enter that global brain field of 42 to 45 hertz, that's when you begin to get into the area of PAN. Now, I'm lucky because I have technology that I can use biofeedback and map myself while I'm doing this. But you can do it on your own with proper training. And right now, we have a select group of students who we are training. And we're going to bring them into the arena of numbers. And believe me, once I have my seven people, one for each number and an extra person in case someone is feeling ill or something, then we're going to be hitting World Lottery. I'm going to become the first billionaire to crack lottery systems. Already I'm getting rich. I'm going to become the first billionaire to do this.
One, somebody's going to kill you.
Well, I know. Ed Dan says that just because he hates me so much. Well,
no,
here's the
Ed,
thing.
I said that. I never heard Ed say that. I just know that if you start hitting lotteries one after another, you're a dead man.
I know Ed, and I've heard him say that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry. That was me.
Yeah. And also, I heard that you had said it on a previous show, so I'm just sort of adding extra punch.
Well, it's a natural line. I mean, if you, I mean, come on. If you hit lottery after lottery, somebody's going to come after you for sure.
No, and it, no, they won't. In fact, the way to explain this is that right now, people who study world markets are entering in a phase of chaos. These old formulas that we're using, the old Nobel, there's a Nobel Prize winner that really helped recently, John Nash, the Nash Nobel Prize winner, was the person who really helped us understand chaotic systems, how to invest properly and so on, how to look for stability mm-hmm. in world markets as they change. Now, I have, of course, I'm a mathematical nut. I'm really into mathematics, and so I have a group of formulas that I use to extrapolate probabilities in terms of a future, in terms of TAN. Now, I can apply that to world markets, to any market system, and I can accurately find numbers. Does that mean I'm a threat to world markets, or am I a friend? Actually, no. I'm a friend, because as we enter the phase of chaos, you see, this is a way of riding the waves of chaos, of accepting it in order to be free from it. This is the way in which we can isolate order within chaotic world market systems. Because of my discoveries, we will be able to keep the markets healthy and active for many years to come. Some people have said these markets are going to crash. I tell you, I have proof, living proof right now, my formulas, that world market is not going to crash. We're going to keep it healthy and keep it going, because if it crashes, children, people, their livelihoods are going to fall apart, and we do not want any more suffering on this planet.
No, we don't. Yeah, so what you're saying is not irrational exuberance.
No, I have proof. I have proof of what I'm talking about. In fact, if anyone wants to go to my website at ummo.cc and you click into my perspectives, that will be my blog, and at the very top you're going to see proof for 11 days in a row. I did this just for your show, Art.
Yes.
For 11 days in a row. I posted numbers. Now, to keep things safe, I encoded these numbers so people cannot abuse this and wipe out lotteries. They will do that.
Okay, you encoded the numbers. So how do we know that that the numbers...
I'm going to answer. I released the... sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
Not good, Art.
That's all right. Don't worry
about I released the actual... formula to debug this, to decode it.
Okay.
The formula is one formula, not two. And when you plug it in, you realize, whoa, this guy really did do it for 11 days in a row.
So you hit, you're claiming you hit a lottery or lotteries 11 days in a row.
That's correct. And recently I did it in Japan for 10 days in a row.
In Japan?
Yes. In Japan. In other words, I'm doing it from a remote location. In this case, California, over 3,000 miles away. I hit 11 lotteries in a row, a specific lottery. Here's the interesting thing.
You're a dead man.
I've already been dead, so I'm really kind of looking forward to going back home, if you know what I mean. However, I want, paradoxically, to live as long as I can, because I know how precious life is.
By the way, when you do pass on, what's your expectation about your, port?
Are you speaking about what we perceive of the soul, the one soul we all share, or are you talking about the light at the end when you see...
Well, I'm not sure in your case what I'm talking about.
Well, I can tell you this. At the time of my near-death experience, I was a Satanist.
I'll tell you what. You were? That's a good play. I got a break. I've got to do a break. Whenever I get into a very interesting guest, I blow off my break, so hang tough. I'll be right back. It never fails. I get into a topic I really want to talk about, and I blow off my brakes. And so we only have time before the next one to ask you about. You said you were a Satanist.
Yes. In fact, I was really into it. And by the way, I didn't leave this type of belief system simply because, if you can call it that. My dear Satanist friends, please don't become upset with me. I'm using the language that most Christians, and this is a Christian nation. I'm talking to Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, largely. So I'm using their vernacular, the language, to communicate this. But here's the thing. I experienced death full on. It's gone for some 15 minutes. I'm allergic to penicillin. You know,
oh.
Some people just go out. I went in anaphylactic shock, stopped breathing, my heart, whole thing is terrible. Now, the thing is, when I experienced this death, prior to this, I've been exploring irony of life. I've been exploring death. And you know, it was my primal fear. You always get that which you fear the most. It comes right at you. If you fear something, you've got something to learn. Fear is a great, great teacher. If you fear something, that's exactly what you need to do. And I knew it. I didn't really want to do this. I couldn't figure out how to do this. But I was exploring the idea of death to overcome my fear, to face it, to learn something from it. And what I had learned from death had changed my life forever. You see?
And that was?
I was in the process of being initiated. My mentor, who came all the way from, he's Scottish Rite. This is somebody from England. Now, the England side of Freemasonry is the occult side of Freemasonry. The American side, the United States here in the West, we're sort of a country club for business people making connections and so on, which is okay. But on the other side, you see, I was in the process of being initiated, and I had to make a choice between love or the world, you see.
Love or the world.
That's correct. And that was the initiation I was involved with before entering Third Order. Now, what's interesting is this is the new order for the world.
And you chose the world.
I chose love.
Oh, you
right.
did.
I,
you did.
I gave up. I was interested in psychological, neuroimmune, endocrinology, and of course, with my brain, I could pass any test. The thing is, I was heading into medical school, one of the best, and this man was going to help me get into Harvard.
Silly me thought love was always connected with, you know, the big one, God, Jesus.
Of course. I wouldn't. All Luciferians choose love over the world. You couldn't be a Luciferian if that wasn't your choice in life, period. Now, the difference between a Satanist and a Luciferian is fundamental in that respect.
Once again, the man who chose love, here's Aaron. Aaron, I want to go back to this just for a second because it's very, very important for your credibility. You're telling me that you chose, I think it was 10 lotteries, and prior to the lottery, a very important point, you encoded the winning numbers, and then after the lotteries were done, you put the formula up to decode the numbers, and people can go to your website and confirm that, in fact, you hit these lotteries, yes?
That is correct. Absolutely correct. And there's a record of the numbers being posted. In which, by the way, I have four witnesses at the time who have observed this, photographed this, have a record of this in their computer on their desktop as I'm speaking now.
Okay.
And every day that the lottery number had been posted, they were to, of course, document this. I'm doing this from 3,000 miles away. Now, what happens is, as well as my website, you can go into the blog history, which is right there. Go under perspectives and look at that front page that I have posted for your show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see numbers that I had posted the previous lottery for the California Daily 3. And it's very easy. Get out your calculators and start punching in that formula, and you'll see that, in fact, these numbers, which are listed always in order of probability, sometimes all the numbers relate. But I only pick the first number and sometimes the second number. We want to beat the odds. That's the point of it. But in this case, a perfect, absolute, undeniable hit. Every single number.
It's impressive.
11 days in a row.
Impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I am really, really interested in time travel. I've always been very interested in time travel. You're claiming what about a time machine? Are you claiming that you have somehow deciphered the plans for a machine, or what?
Absolutely. Now, there are two, remember Nikola Tesla spoke about, so it's been rumored. Now, I have a document that was supposed to be written by Tesla, paid a lot of money for this. I haven't have verified if it's actually his work. As soon as I do, then I can confirm this 100%, but I'm 99% on this. Tesla often thought about somehow angels or something like that giving him this information. And he had the base knowledge. He had the lexicon. He could go ahead as an engineer and create this stuff. But the stuff that he was given was almost praeterhuman intelligence. It was something that was beyond something he could even imagine. So this is something that you might say has happened to me. My experience as a result of years and years of remote viewing and now using TAN and being intensely interested in time travel myself and alien. I'm interested in those UFOs in the sky, and I have seen them all my life. I know they're real. And I can prove to anyone who's with me that they are real, because there are certain vibrations in our rituals that we use to bring these craft in view. That's why this is just the beginning of the revelation art. We're going to be releasing information about this, and this is how contact happens. You have to do the work to make contact happen. We know the rituals. These rituals are being explored right now. If the right vibrational energy, the right state of mind, they can hear from the other dimension, and they respond and they appear. Contact is the second level to this, and we're heading into the Fatima side of this, or contact. When I remote viewed Fatima, I found the secret of contact. And the fact that that's not the Pope being shot there, that's the genetic key that makes contact happen. There's an assassination attempt on that person who tries to bring contact into fruition.
I would imagine that, yes.
Yes, and that's what Fatima was, the vision of that. Because if that man is killed, the hope of the world is gone. But they will call that man evil. Now, this relates, by the way, to the Time Machine and to the Hopi, the Fire Clan tablet. This relates to Aleister Crowley's secret code in Liber Alvaligis, which I was the first to crack.
All right, you've lost me a little bit. Where did the plans... The plans actually came from an individual
entity.
Who claimed... Oh, from an entity.
That is correct. Now, I'm very careful here. I'm telling this before millions of people on your show. Here's the thing. It's not something you just want to say lightly or just sort of... willing, oh, by the way, an alien talked to me and told me this.
Yeah.
People totally think you're crazy.
They totally do, yes.
Yes. But those of us who have seen and experienced UFO, we can't explain it.
Well, look, I'll say this. There was a guy out here in Pahrump, Nevada. He ultimately went into Las Vegas, and he claimed that he could produce UFOs just by going out and, I don't know, thinking about it or drawing them in. And let me tell you something. He went into one of the main three network channels in Las Vegas. I can't recall which one. It might have been 13, ABC. And they went out with a camera, and by God, this guy brought down a UFO.
I panned it. I looked at it. Channel 13, his name was Prophet...
Oh!
Dot, dot, dot. Prophet Yahweh.
Yeah.
Prophet Yahweh. It was a hoax.
Well,
he didn't know it. It was played on Prophet Yahweh. He didn't know it. There was a hoax played on him.
Well, I don't
know. I know the people who did that, and I warned them not to ever do it again.
I don't know.
This isn't funny.
I don't know about the hoax thing. That thing looked awfully high and awfully...
Yeah, actually, I do know the hoax, and I'm going to tell you...
Well, tell me.
I don't want to say too much. We just should drop the subject, because there's a technology that will make you think UFOs, that sort of thing is real. They're not supposed to be doing that.
All right.
That was a hoax, as I had said on my show after that happened, that this would never happen. I have the Voice of Lucifer show that I look at stuff like this and examine it, and I reveal what is behind it and who did it. So we have somewhat of a confirmation, and as I had said, that would never happen again, and it didn't, because it was a hoax. We know who did it. I know how that's done.
You do.
The right technology, I could do it myself. I don't have that kind of money right now, Art. Intent.
So that takes a lot of money.
And yet,
all right, without telling us who did it, can you tell us how they did it?
No, Art. No, absolutely not. Subject's closed. Sorry.
Huh.
That's over.
Because the video was kind of impressive.
Very impressive, yes.
Yeah.
It's designed to be so. Absolutely.
All right. All right, but
I call it mockery, but it's just an inside thing.
So you're claiming... though, you can do the real thing.
Absolutely. And we're going to do one better. We're going to make contact. And it's not in America. It's in South America. And it has to do with the secret of Fatima. Anyone who's ever remote viewed Fatima, they'll tell you the same thing.
Do you know what the third secret was?
Absolutely. And I know every aspect of that secret. It's part of...
Proceed.
The Hopi, by the way, know it too.
Okay. What is it?
Yeah, this goes back to the time of, and forgive me for not saying the name correctly, Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
It goes back to the legend of Quetzalcoatl, the story, the mythology surrounding this whole idea, the plumed serpent. Now, the story of these people were told to wait in the four corners where they're waiting now, to wait for the return of the Pahana. If you know, Pahana means, you know, something not good. Whereas Pahana means a lost white brother. It's similar to that. The Hopi language in Third Mesa, very few people know it. I was trained by a two-horned priest who took me to Third Mesa. I observed a kachina dance, a blue kachina dance, where the elder dropped his mask. All of the prophetic aspects of this story were fulfilled. I kicked an old shoe.
All great.
I broke a pot, the whole thing. Right?
What is the third secret of Fatima, that there's going to be contact?
This is very important. This leads up to the third secret of Fatima.
Right.
If I just say this, people are going to think, of course. Yeah,
well, they
sure
may already be thinking that anyway, so don't worry.
I agree. These little aspects are very, very important because they're all clues.
All right.
You have to think of life as being this mixed-up puzzle box, and you have all these clues, and you put this piece together here and there, and they add up to something grand. So these are little pieces of a grand clue about where we come from, what we need to do, why we're here. Now, Quetzalcoatl told his people to travel and to stay and live in this Four Corners area and to live from the earth as it is dry, as it would be in the future, to teach mankind how to survive in a hostile land, and that they had to connect with the earth to grow blue corn. If they didn't connect with the earth, they would die. Now, I'll tell you, the life of a Hopi in Third Mesa is rather miraculous. They're very magical and spiritual people, even to this day, even though they're now driving cars and stuff, eating meat. But I can tell you that there's still some spirituality there, and what they know about Fatima would shock you. They're not going to tell archaeologists this because they don't trust the archaeologists. All the people writing books about the Hopi, The Hopi are jokesters. They pulled pranks on all these archaeologists. How do I know? I spoke with the Hopi. I was with the two-horned priest for a long time. And he told me things I had no idea he knew about South America, about alien contact, about Quetzalcoatl, and the story by which the Pahana would be there and prove who he was. Let's take you back real quick. My very first session with Ed Dames, way back in SciTech, years ago. SciTech isn't anymore.
Right.
Someone else, that's not Ed's stuff anymore. It's just, now it's goofy.
Right.
So, now I'm sitting there and, what has happened is I'm given a blind target. What is it? The missing Fire Clan tablet. Now, in the old days, Ed was right on spiritually. He was working for Lucifer. We all work for the entity. Some of us know it. Some of us turn our back on it. Some of us don't know it. Those who don't are pawns. Ed's working for the entity, and he simply has turned his back on it.
Well, I bet there's a lot of Christians out there that would agree with you. They think the whole thing is rather Luciferian-like.
You bet it is. It was Lucifer that gave us remote viewing in the first place. This is an occult activity. This is a way to reach right into the dark side. And let me tell you, because of physics, we're going to begin to see proof that magicians such as myself, we are really obtaining results. I have movies of demons that I have brought out and communicated with. You have one such clip from a movie on my website.
I've taken a look at the pictures on the website, and I've got to say I'm a little unimpressed. They're kind of pixelated and hard. Yeah. You know, they're hard to see.
Right. The reason why I chose that particular demon, because of its morphology, it matches identically to that of a locust-like being that's mentioned in the book of Revelations, citing the end of our days. I say that we've destroyed our planet, that we're reaching it. We've already reached that breaking point, and we're dying. We're on a dying planet.
That
we need to
be.
Make contact. We're
that
in trouble ecologically.
Yeah.
It's over.
Maybe.
That's why I have that particular demon there, because for the Christians in this country, they can relate to that, because that shows that's a road sign. We're at the end. It's one of these locust beings. Now, I know what that demon is. I know what it signifies. I know everything about that entity because years ago I brought it forth in a temple to prepare for not only this day, but for the days to come. We are literally living in the book of Revelations. We're living at the end.
All right. And so the third secret.
The third secret is about contact with the human progenitor And the third secret, the reason why people were so horrified by this, is because when they learned that this entity was the one we all feared, the father of the human race, was actually the one we thought was evil. We thought that the father of the human race was something light and beautiful and angelic.
My God, you're telling me the third...
Lucifer.
Wow.
We are the sons and daughters of Lucifer, and that's what we find out at Fatima. And that's what the Holy Father, that's what the Holy, in the Vatican, they're keeping this a secret.
Well, that certainly would account for the secrecy, wouldn't it?
And, by the way, that's not the former Pope that's being shot in that. That's a genetic key. That's a genetically manipulated human being who was brought here to bring about contact. Fatima is contact with a human progenitor in South America. And we kill him. We try to assassinate him. And without him, contact does not happen because we have one chance in life. This is our one chance to make contact.
I know,
this is
I know.
The son of Lucifer.
I know that in remote viewing, and I assume Pan, timelines are difficult. So if you're telling me the third secret is that Lucifer is our father,
that's right,
and that contact with him will be made and it will occur in South America and we'll try to kill him, roughly when do you believe this is going to occur?
That depends on, here's the timeline here that we have. The time machine that we built, the seat of the third Antichrist, the seat of this new man, the Hominovus, the new man, is here in the United States. It's been decided that the United States will be the place where a single world government, by the way, I'm pro-government. I love government. I think the United States government is going the right direction. We're actually tearing up the one thing in the way of a one-world government, and that's our Constitution.
Uh-huh.
We're giving it up willy-nilly. We're just letting it go.
We do appear to be, yeah.
Yes, and this is a good thing. Because, and then we have this other problem with communism.
So you welcome communism's fading fast. You welcome a one-world government with open arms, huh?
You bet. I have been a one-worlder all my life. I believe in it. I believe in a global village. The whole, all this language is all leading us into a new way of living, and it's wonderful. We've got to allocate dwindling resources, or we're going to go extinct. We're going to kill each other off. It's our only chance.
Yes, well.
And the thing that will make this happen is the time machine. The time machine is going to be given to the U.S. government, and it will be protected by nuclear weapons.
It's going to be, well, you have the plans for it, or did I just hear you say a moment ago that you have built it?
There are both plans. A prototype right now is being explored. There are two plans. One involves human DNA and a light switching mechanism. And you have, you also have a neural net using computer systems. And they're set in separate areas all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be all over the United States as well. Right now, we have people working on the neural net. There's a problem with technology. It's being developed as I'm talking to you now. And by the way, I'm funding right now. This is coming out of my pocket. I'm funding research into two areas. One, this light switching mechanism, which is a photonics problem. Photonics experts are dealing, and nanotechnologists, this is their problem. These are the engineers, these are the people who specialize in areas that will help make this happen quickly. We have the technology right now, today, to make it happen. What we do is we take human DNA and we use a light switching mechanism. Now, this is so efficient. What we're doing is we're measuring the difference. When these samples of genetic material match resonance with one another in different locations,
yes,
we can measure the difference by stimulating them in. And I'm not going to give the secret out here on air. I can't do it. Won't do it. But there's a way to stimulate this.
All right. Are you saying this is going to allow for actual physical transportation into the past or the future or what?
Okay. We are designed to look at only historical systems of information. So in order to see a past, we have to create probabilities. There we're into an area called psychokinesis. And I understand how psychokinesis works now. I've recently discovered it. Proof, look, for 10 days in a row, I manipulated the numbers in the Japanese lottery. Now, everyone knows there's no way I could be there and doing this.
You're just not saying you perceived the numbers. You're saying you manipulated them. That's remote influence.
We create the reality by understanding these probabilities and by exercising a specific region of the brain, which I have mapped out by years ago remote viewing it, and I know the brain's anatomy and been interested in it all my life.
Boy, if you think you'd be killed just for getting the lottery numbers, if you actually manipulated them and you did remote influence, you're really a dead man.
But we all manipulate our future. We all create our own future. It's just knowing how we do it can make all the difference, because then you can find stability.
Okay, again, we're on break. Are you actually talking about physical transportation into the past?
I'm talking about information systems of information. You will never be able to take your body. We're not smart enough to create the technology to travel physically in the past.
All right. It has always been my understanding that remote viewing, as a general principle, is not locked into any particular time or, anything of that sort, that you can remote view right across time and indeed into the past. So how would this time machine differ from normal remote viewing or even PAN?
That's a great question. In fact, talk about this last segment, I'm, by the way, not a nanotechnological transneurogeneticist nor a photonics expert. These are people that I know the faces. I hire them. I'm only a project manager for the first aspect of the time machine. Remote viewing deals, by the way, with the second aspect of the time machine. I want to say that one of the deepest shocks I've had, because I did this blind session. I had no idea what I was going to get. It's the beauty of this work with PAN, and remote viewing is a base program if you're just learning that. Now, what I found was that the human brain is a time machine. Now, this coincides with this technology. There's a specific kind of DNA. There's a certain kind of cellular information that we extract and use. You can't just take it from a random source. So what we know here, to make the experiment, the controlled experiment, efficient, as we know that you can't just pick a random source unless you're doing a control. You're doing this part of the double-blind studies, of course. But when we're talking about the second aspect being the human mind as a time machine, every single human being, innately, we have an ability to travel through time with the mind. The mind is outside of time. If you know how to access this information outside of normal awareness.
Well, that's non-locality. That's the basis of remote viewing, right?
It can be. It depends on who's teaching this. For me, no. Because I feel that there's so much more to this, and PAN explains it. As you do it, as you learn PAN, you understand the limitations of remote viewing.
Okay.
PAN, we're looking at the mind is an actual time machine. Because you see, in remote viewing, you're locked 99% of the time into historical sources of information.
Right.
Whereas in PAN, you're locked in, 80% of the time into non-historical sources of information, probabilities. And if you become conscious of something, you name it, therefore you limit it. You create it. We create our realities outside of awareness. That's going to change. That's going to change the entire world. This right here, Art, that you're exposing to people is going to change world paradigms very, very soon. Everyone's going to be thinking about this. It's going to radically alter all education systems in the world. Physics is about ready to have a breakthrough that will help us in terms of the first aspect of the time machine. The second aspect will be helped as well, but the second aspect deals with very special children. We call these children, this is the Antichrist. I'm Antichrist. You're Antichrist. Anyone who, well, you may not be. It's a way of thinking. It's not one person. It's what you think. It's not on the forehead. It's in the forehead.
Okay.
What you think. And so these children are true Antichrist. They are true Hominovus or the new man, because they're prophets. We take genetic material from known existing prophets, right? According to Lucifer, according to Alien, there are two fathers to these children in this facility. I own the facility.
Should I dare ask how you extract this DNA?
We genetically manipulate children to create super children, which are prophets, and they will make decisions for us in the future. And if you find someone that can know the future, they can make an informed, they have an informed choice. They can make the right decision about the totality of our existence. They can allocate resources efficiently because they know the consequences of our actions. Because they can see it, they're prophets. We're going to produce a race of children who are prophets. They are the new man. That is the new child of the future. They are going to be produced in laboratories under the, by the way, we're going public with this because it's a reality that there's nothing that anyone can do about. The country that gets this information will become virtually invincible. Because if you know the future, you can't make a mistake.
Oh, that's right.
And so information is power. And information in the era that we live in, we're beyond the information age. Now we need to know non-historical information. We need to know prophecy or the future.
Aren't you afraid you'll have child services on your butt?
I don't think so, because this is a government facility which is guarded by nuclear weapons. It's that important to whatever country that has it.
Oh. All right. Well, since they don't have it yet, how do you know they're going to regard it with that much importance?
This is what contact is about. Contact is about two fathers. There's two fathers to these children. One, the entity. Two, the prophet.
Ah.
And these children are designed to lead us.
Designed, keyword.
That's right. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have the technology today. It's heading your way. There's nothing you can do about it.
How many of these little Damians will it take?
There'll be many born. So many that they will eventually be the status quo for the human being on the planet in the very near future.
Wow. All right. Again, I'm still not grasping. I understand how you look at a past event historically with remote viewing. I don't understand the real difference. For example, with this machine, would you be able to manipulate anything at all that happened in the past?
Only in another universe. There are multiple universes that occur simultaneously. The universe that you're in now, you're stuck in this timeline. You've got to deal with the choices that you make now. That's why a prophet in this timeline is so important. In other words, these multiple universes become aligned finally.
Oh.
Not perfectly, but we'll be able to communicate them with stability. We can't do that now because everything is different, yet at the same time, everything is the same. There are multiple universes happening all at the same time. Physics is about ready to answer that very question. I'm not a physics expert, but I do know enough about physics.
They are indeed getting close, and I had a world-class physicist on last night, and she indicated that it may be true that gravity waves penetrate as though they were not there, the various universes, and so that our final detection or our first detection of another universe may come from detection of gravity waves.
Yes, I think that's correct. And you know, over 70% of the universe is this dark energy. Most people don't know that.
That's true.
And so we're, as a magician, I'm dealing with those subtle energy sources to manipulate the psyche of, it's a playground out there.
I think you just like the fact they call it dark energy.
Yes, that's the dark side. The irony in our language. It's in our language. It really is.
Really?
Yeah, you should hang out with the dark side for a while.
Or should
I could show you a darker side of Paris, Art, if you want to come there with me sometime.
Really? Is there a darker? Well, I'm sure there is a darker side of Paris.
Oh, yes. You could be Art Vader, and I'll be the Emperor Ratzinger. You know, in the movie Revenge of the Sith.
Yes. Hey, by the way, were you actually, I saw Suspect Zero, and of course I saw Ed's quick appearance. Were you also in that?
I was in it, but you know what happened?
No.
Is when they found, when Ed pulled a fast one on me, it's why I cursed him. What happened is by the way, it's not Ed that I cursed. Anyone who works with him is cursed and bad things happen to them. And if anyone does anything nice for him, helps him, they get cursed. So Ed's like a bad luck McGillicuddy. Everywhere he goes, he sends bad luck out there. And I would really like to stop the curse because, you know, people are getting hurt now. But here's the thing. For example, someone recently decided not to put me in a book and praised Ed instead, and she lost her daughter. So that's it. I want the curse to stop. So you magicians, stop it. It's over. Right here. They're listening to you now. I have over 100 magicians right now working with me. They're chaos magicians. They're hardcore.
Hardcore.
Yes, and so anyone that messes with us tries to steal from us, or we use black magic to defend ourselves, rightfully. If you use black magic on a righteous person, it won't work. But there are mushrooms out there or collateral damage.
Yes.
And we want to stop the collateral damage. We're not perfect at our black magic. We want to get the target directly. But this curse was an experiment. And I think we may have missed a few things here. So we're learning. We're learning. But it was a highly effective curse, by the way.
You know, I would think that actually, in a lot of ways, you and Ed would have an awful lot in common. I mean, Ed looks at the dark side. Ed looks at, you know, the darker side of our rather immediate future. And so in a lot of ways, you two would have a lot in common, and yet you're enemies.
I don't know why. The thing is, Ed took me out of that movie behind my back for some revenge reason. I don't know why. I outshone him. In other words, I was outshining him everywhere I went because I can remote view. He can't do it as well as I can.
Not too
much,
bad.
You know, and the thing is, he hated that. And so, you know, ego, like he says, ego is a problem.
Well, it was a very good movie, actually. I thought it was excellent.
I didn't like it, of
course.
I have a biased opinion. I thought it was terrible because they injected this idea of Christ and everything and redemption and all that. They took me out of the movie. I'm still in the movie, technically. My name's in the screen, in the credits.
Oh, is it really?
Okay. Yes. So I'm technically still there. However, when it was found out that I was a Luciferian, Ed talked to the director, talked to everyone there and said, you got someone here who's evil. You got someone here who's a bad luck person. In fact, I was their only good luck. I was their talisman of good luck. And what happened is when they took me out of the movie bombed. It was one of the worst rated movies. It just did nothing, make any money on this thing.
Oh, I hate to disagree with you. I thought it was quite good. I really did. I thought it was quite good.
For us in this field, we love stuff like this. But for the real movie critics out there, the acting was terrible. It was one of the worst. It made Aaron Eckhart look, it virtually destroyed his career. He's trying to bounce back from it.
Kingsley was great.
Carrie-Anne Moss, all of them.
They
had a terrible time after this because they did an awful job in that movie. And everyone just did it was choppy. It was basically a terrible movie. I would have done it completely different, but you see, I didn't have much say there. Ed did. And Ed put me on the cutting room floor. And they injected the scene where you have the remote viewer, on his, you know, in a church, they did that on purpose. If you know the inside story here, you realize what's really going on here. It was revenge. Ed put me on a cutting room floor. These people fell for it, and I cursed them.
Mm.
You're not having very good luck since that time, by the way. But I do see people dying now. So I don't want that to happen. I want all of it to stop. So my magicians are listening to me, and this curse is hereby ended. So
all
you
right.
made the balance right by helping me out here, Art, so there's no more curse upon you.
All right.
So it's over.
Well, I didn't think there was a curse on me in the first place.
It was never supposed to be. It was never supposed to be that way. You know, life is funny. You have all this irony. And you know, in my last show with Pinion, and the thing is, I'm here to make sure Christianity goes away. I'm not here. I don't want Christianity to be on the planet.
I mean, here you are talking to, let's face it, a Christian nation.
You bet.
And you're saying you want Christianity to just go away.
Yeah, these four great religions, if we don't get rid of them, they're going to get rid of us. And there's a new religion coming. There's a new spirituality that's going to slam us all. And there's nothing we can do about it. It will be accepted or be rejected. Those who reject it will starve. Those who accept it will be fulfilled. They will understand. They'll be part of this very time machine that I'm talking about. They'll be part of contact of Lucifer. Lucifer is returning. People think that there's going to be a Planet X, and they're all feeling this great change coming.
Yes.
Actually, that
true.
Light coming over the horizon is Lucifer. This is the feeling that doom that everyone has. And it's Lucifer returning. It's coming back, and it is your father, my father, the father of the human race, and will horrify those people who are programmed to believe in a false system that worships Christ. And that's an angel that you're worshiping. That's not. That's not Christ.
And the mark...
I did not know Christ.
The mark of the beast? That will be upon us how quickly?
Well, again, we are in the age of this right now and expect it very, very soon.
You work with numbers, right? So you ought to know when that one's coming
up. I do, Art. I do, and I know dates, and I don't want to give them out right now. That's for a future show, a future time. Not now. Right now, I'm instructed to tell this, not that. That's, and you'll understand why after the show. In the next few months, you'll understand why. Because you see, if you know a good thing, the ethics of being a psychic, or as an ethics of being a prophet, is thus. If you know a good thing, you stay quiet.
Good thing.
Or, if it's something that there's nothing that anyone can do about, like this time machine in the form of children, or in the form of technology, then you can talk about it, because no one can stop it anyway. Or, if you know a really bad thing, then you talk about it so it doesn't happen. These are our ethics.
When does, ethically, the project utilizing the children begin?
It begins within, well, let me just say this. It has already begun.
Oh.
And you're gonna, there's an Asian face on this, okay? I'm just going to say that. That's enough.
There's an Asian face on it.
That's correct.
I can picture all kinds of things in my mind, and I'm probably not wrong.
No.
Things I don't want to know.
A lot of people won't want to know, but it's too late. We can't stop it. And it's a good thing. This is our salvation. Our only hope on this dying planet is to make contact with a human progenitor, and that's Lucifer. We've been told the wrong thing. We've been programmed for fear. Fear is a great teacher. There's a reason why we have fear. It's to evolve us. The purpose of Satan, of Satanism, is to impede the path of man to the degree that we evolve. We need contrast. We are bicameral beings. We're breaking down the bicameral brain as we evolve. We're being unified as we evolve worldwide. We need to be unified as a one world, as a one people celebrating all cultures under one governmental source so we can efficiently allocate resources. And the people who rule government must have prophets by their side, or they will not make the correct decisions, because the type of decisions that are being made today can either destroy the world or save it. One or the other.
So you think it's still salvageable?
Yes, I do. I believe that we have to define the problem in order to fix it. And right now, we can fix the problem because we're not smart enough to do it alone. We have to make contact. We've got questions. I'm telling you, Art, you know it, I know it, and many of the people in the audience, you're all smart, you know it, you can feel what I'm saying. Right now, you know those aliens are real. I know how to communicate with them, but I'm not smart enough to do it without your help. We are collectively, we need to work together to make contact. It takes work to do this. You don't just show up with a bunch of cameras and wait for these things to show up in the sky.
An awful lot of my callers think that UFOs and this sort of thing is clearly, I don't know, satanic, clearly evil. And really, Aaron, you're agreeing.
Yes. There's no, well, what I'm going to say is this. We're dichotomous, right? I say the master rises above the dichotomy and sees no difference. You see, you rise above this. Gandhi slept with virgins to demonstrate that he could rise above his biology. This is another example of how we ascend above this dichotomy, this difference. We can control this. We don't have to fall for these superstitions, for the ideas of the past that hold us in fear, that lock us in fear. These fear-based religions were only meant to teach us to rise up spiritually on the next rung of the ladder. And that next rung is unity. We're to be united spiritually, culturally. We're one people on one planet. And if we don't get together soon and look at the human progenitor for what it really is, fear in hand, I don't care. You got to face it. The fact is, it's our father. No matter what you've been programmed to think, it's our father. And it unites all the religions. It is the new form of spirituality and our only hope. We are not smart enough collectively to fix this problem that we created on our planet. But we have a technology on the way from the father of the human race. That technology, and we have the entity. We have questions. We need to develop the technology to communicate with this being. We're not smart enough to do that. I'm not smart enough to do it, and I'm very, very smart. I need your help. We've got to invest in this time machine, both aspects of it. We've got to support it and protect it from those crazy people who think that this is of the devil, that we've got to put an end to it. These are people stuck in dichotomy. I feel sorry for them.
Speaking of the devil, you know the truth of demonic possession, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right. By the way, if you would like to send me an email, you may do so. I am Art Bell at AOL.com, or preferably, I am Art Bell at Mindspring.com. That's A-R-T-B-E-L-L at Mindspring.com, and I would very much enjoy getting emails from all of you, and I'm certainly taking the time to read them. And by the way, this coming weekend, I'm going to be doing a three-dayer. In other words, Friday night, Saturday morning, open lines. That should be quite something. We'll see what develops. If any of you have any concrete suggestions about what you would like to do for a special open line session, I'm open to that influence, if you would like to send me a suggestion. In the meantime, back to Aaron and demonic possession. We hear a lot about that on the program, one way or the other, demonic possession. You claim to know the truth about it. The Catholic Church thinks they do. What do you know?
Well, the Catholic Church does know some things.
Like, yeah, oh, yes.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I have a friend who is a Catholic priest. I'm not going to say his name for obvious reasons. Wouldn't say it anyway. But I'll tell you that and I also have two Catholic priests that are waiting for the Luciferian order to become public to the degree that we have temples, and they're going to leave.
Oh,
two confirmed priests
really?
Are ready to leave.
Really?
Yes. Because they're that distraught over the child molestation issue. And it's the Church's prior position, not the position today. I think the Catholic Church can be remedied. I think that this place has, there's some hope. It's a vast power source, and a lot of people look to the Pope. I know I made fun of Pope Ratzinger as looking like this character from Revenge of the Sith, but I can tell you that he really does know a few secrets. And the secret of Fatima is one that you're not going to hear completely.
Well, one does wonder why the Church has kept it so close.
Absolutely. And rightfully so. They have to protect their own interests. What are you going to do when people have been programmed to think a certain way by the angel for so many years? There's been this relationship between the angel and Lucifer in the Vatican since it began. You know, Paul of Tarsus had his classic experience of being abducted.
You know, it is interesting. I had Father Malachi Martin on. He had great reservations and said there was evil in the Vatican. And you are on the other side saying there's hope for the Vatican. It's very interesting. Demonic possession. Come on, back to that.
Yes, most people believe that they're programmed to believe that demonic possession is this thing where you spit and your head spins backwards, you do horrible things, crucifixes.
Hollywood.
That's incorrect.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood. That's wrong. Demonic possession is very, very subtle. In fact, one-third of the human race right now is being possessed and being integrated. These spirit forces are learning to use the nervous systems of one-third of the human race.
Really?
Only the male. Only the female is possessed by the angel. The male is possessed primarily. Now, sometimes females are possessed by the demon, but it's rare. See, it has to do with the stability of X and X. The recessive gene is very important. Only men are abducted and manipulated.
Hmm.
Very rarely are women abducted.
Isn't that fascinating? Because, again, Father Martin said there are many, more than you can possibly imagine, who are what he called perfectly possessed. In other words, they have made their deal with the dark side. Many of them are exceptionally successful people, and they are what he called perfectly possessed, and you could pass them on the street, and he said he would know them, most would not. But does that kind of fit in with what you just said?
If your spiritual eye is open, such as Malachi. Malachi is a traitor. If your spiritual eye is open, then you can see the demon. It knows. It can look back at you. I'll tell you, many times I'm walking in New York in a crowd, and every once in a while I get this feeling from my anahata, the heart chakra, one of doom and dread. And I just love that feeling, that macabre feeling.
You do.
Of horror. I live for it, yes. And this thing will turn the head of that person outside of the awareness and give me that special glance. I know that entity. Now, that's what Malachi could see, only they looked at him, not with reverence. I'm the father. I don't mean to say I'm the father, the way Marilyn, or the way Manson claimed he was a father. Charlie says kill, you know, that sort of thing. No, not anything like that. This is a whole different aspect. The Adam Codman is what I'm referred to. Whereas the demon turns and looks upon me with reverence, but upon the traitor, not.
So the truth of demonic possession is that one-third of us are possessed.
One-third of the human race is presently possessed, yes, and you wouldn't know it. Now, when the angel runs amok, you'll get odd things that happen. If there's a division between the host and the spiritual thing that's in there, this the spiritual parasite called the angel, if things are divided and are in perfect accord, then the woman will do odd things. Like recently, a woman thought she heard God tell her to cut the arms and legs off her infant.
Mm-hmm.
This is an angelic possession. This is not demonic possession. Demons don't harm the host. They protect it. They make you rich. They do good things for you. Their purpose is to impede the path of man to the degree that man evolves spiritually. One of the reasons why the things like unicorns and Bigfoot show up is because these create mythology for us. These create new ideas that help us spiritually grow.
Uh-huh.
And these are projections from craft which are unmanned. I talked about this 5 years ago and told Ed Dames about it.
Well, Ed Dames has been talking about these projections actually for some time.
Yeah. I brought the attention to it. I was the one who told Ed Dames about this 5 years ago.
Well, I'm telling you, you guys are less than 6 degrees apart, definitely. You ought to be friends, it seems to me.
I have been asking myself the same question. Why does he not just give up his ego and join me? Together, Ed and I could do amazing things. I brought him to the silver screen. I don't want to be the guy out front. He is supposed to be the spokesman for Lucifer. Now I'm doing it.
By the way, you may recall, Ed said that he remote viewed Lucifer, and it is my considered opinion that Ed has never quite been the same since.
No one ever is. And I mean that from the deepest core of my being.
So you believe he did have an encounter then?
Ed knows that he turned his back on the father of the human race. He just doesn't understand it yet.
Yikes.
He will come to understand it in time. Traitors are not treated very well.
No, I would think not.
I'm reserving for Ed Dames because I love the guy. I have an open door policy. You can only turn your back from me. And, you know, Ed is allowed to come back in, and I'll give him his position. I'll give him his fame and his fortune and his I'll give him respect. I'll give him the data. You do realize that I used, I offered Ed Dames the Social Security number. By the way, I can get SSI numbers. That's historical data, numerical, easy, smeezy for me. I can do it. I offered the Social Security number of the BTK killer before he was found, and Ed refused it. Knowing that I have this technology and can do it and have proven it.
So you two do at times communicate somehow.
I offer this and that, and he doesn't take it because he thinks he can do it by himself. He thinks his Magnificent Seven are somehow going to beat me, and they can't. I've got the father of the human race on my side. Ed's got the angel.
Angel
is a parasite. This is the world of Lucifer. This is Lucifer's planet. We want to kick the angel off this planet. Because look what the angel has done to us. It virtually destroyed us. It's time for the human being to leave the nest and live on its own and take its planet back. We're the sons and daughters of Lucifer. We need to take our planet back, and we can have a wonderful future if we get the right technology to reverse the damage that we caused because of our ignorance.
Obviously, one of the key numbers is this 666. Now, when you remote view 666, what do you get?
Dollar bills, money, Wall Street.
Money.
You bet. Wall Street and numbers. Mm-hmm. You always get this dollar. If you're a basic remote viewer, you get the dollar bill, the concept of money. You'll get that.
Fascinating.
Every time, cross-culturally, you get it. You know, all people get that. That's in level one truth. That's a powerful, powerful symbol, a powerful message.
A level one truth.
Yeah.
That money, or that 666 is money. How will it finally manifest itself? Do you know?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the technology was given to me from the entity, and of course, I was born with an ability to. You know, I have a love of mathematics. I won't get into that here. It really drives people crazy. But what I'm going to say is that I use mathematics as a means to identify the highest probability And I'm also involved with creating these probabilities. We create the realities. If you understand the process of psychokinetic activity and you put it into work, I'm a magician. I've been practicing magic all my life. I was born into this.
And by that, I assume you mean real magic, not tricks.
Not pulling rabbits out of a hat. No, I'm talking not illusion. But I have verifiable results. These are and I document everything I do because I'm as much a skeptic as anyone else. And for the gentleman, early in the show, I feel like there's a gentleman listening to me right now, and you're seeking. You just want proof of anything. You're just desperate. I think he's in the beginning. He was listening at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yes.
I don't know your name.
He wanted anything to happen. He wanted to see something. He wanted to experience something. He was in search of anything.
I want him to grab his calculator. Now, one of the miracles that I can demonstrate now that the church doesn't have, no one has, and the world has this miracle. No remote viewer in the world has it. I want you to grab that calculator and look at my numbers. You see the formula there? Plug it in. You realize that you've just, these numbers were coded. You now have access, proving to yourself that a miracle has occurred. How in the world could I have seen the accurate winning numbers for that lottery 11 days in a row? How could I have done that?
Well, you could not have.
That's right. Unless my mind was a time machine, and it is. And that relates to these children that we see in the future who are time machines that will help world leaders make the proper decision. They'll have the informed choice about tomorrow's world. There's hope for us. We first must admit that we have a problem. We must admit that we got a problem we can't solve. We're not smart enough to. So we're going to have to go to a higher power. We're going to have to go to the source, the human progenitor. The human progenitor is that source.
When do you think the one world government will become absolutely apparent?
It is apparent absolutely now.
Well, it may be apparent.
For the socially and culturally, the U.S. Constitution is, of course, the thing in the way. Communism is in the way. And now we're pairing up China with the United States. I've always seen a war between China and the United States, and I would like to avert the war. I want to be wrong. I want to stop this war.
Yes, while we're on the subject, I would like whatever predictions you can give us to sort of, lay down here publicly and throw down the gauntlet and see if you're right.
Here it is. The first thing that really hits me, Art, right now, especially, now this is real time. This is me just being a prophet. And this is what hits me right now. It's the spirits moving me now, and it tells me that we have terrorism. And now, we've been going for so long without any sort of activity. Mm-hmm. We're going to have activity soon. And right now, there's a terrorist who's thinking about hitting, not utility, but sources of energy, liquefied natural gas installations,
really?
Things that can cause horrible, horrible explosions, burn for days. We can't put out. And also there's a terrorist who's thinking about poisoning a water supply. And there's also a terrorist who's thinking about bombing one of the tunnels underneath New York, feeding Manhattan.
All right. You say thinking about. Are these events that you see occurring?
The highest probability will be the attack on an American oil or liquefied natural gas, or a petroleum installation that is American on American soil. This is their target. They want to destroy our economy by destroying our ability to have energy. Energy is the thing that a terrorist right now is thinking most about in terms of disrupting our economy in the U.S.
Well, actually, I saw a story about that on CNN earlier, that is exactly what they're beginning to think about, that they will not attack us so much with bombs, though that's what you're talking about. But they'll come after our economy.
That's their number one target. And the reason why they did not hit us last year was because the terrorists felt that Katrina and these horrible hurricanes
was enough.
They felt that that was Allah. They thought that was an act of their God.
Really?
That took out our oil installations in the region. And this is really what they're thinking. I've gone into their mind. I'm very good at mind probing. And I know what they're thinking. I'm very interested in terrorism. I want to stop it. I don't like what they're doing because I don't want the economy to fail. I'm very pro-economy, pro-government.
Maybe they were awed by Katrina and felt they couldn't outdo it.
Well, now they're upset because Katrina did not take out our economy, and they're still fixated on our oil installations because of this. This is a spiritual war, not a physical one. And the reason Al-Qaeda and these other people, these splinter groups, they don't fear the FBI. Don't fear American policing agencies or spying agencies. They fear the devil. They fear the eye, the spiritual eye, because their eyes half open, and they know that the American institutional way of doing this is intellectual, not spiritual. It's a spiritual war, and that's why they will always have the edge. you see, if we want to win the war on terrorism, we need to look at it from a spiritual perspective and understand the enemy from that perspective, because these are spiritual people.
Well, we've been sending a lot of them to the field of virgins. So, you know, we've been slicing and dicing them pretty well, my friend.
I probably shouldn't laugh, because I'm so pro-life. I don't want to think that that's a bad thing or a good thing. I want to stay out of that. What I want to do is just say that we can prevent this from happening, and the highest probability is a liquefied natural gas installation. I still feel and feel that right now that's a high probability, and that you have a terrorist that's going to hit this thing this year.
This year. All right. We've
that's
got
correct.
That down.
They're going to try it.
All right. I've got that down. Anything else in the...
H5N1 will begin to hit our poultry.
H5N1?
Yeah, and that's after the birds migrate in the spring. And it won't start killing people on 2008. You're going to start seeing a lot of people die, and this will become a pandemic, but it's going to be a hit-and-run type of thing. It's going to build and then slam us until we find a solution. We're going to be slammed by this thing, and what we need to do is prepare for it.
Okay, I don't doubt for a second that you're right about H5N1 probably mutating and then becoming pandemic. Or do you have any way of seeing how awful it's going to be? How many will die?
When you start seeing poultry in America affected because of migrating birds, there's more than just one source for this. That's one source. And I've been talking about the migrating birds being the first road sign of human carnage and death in 1997. This is documented. There was my father did a news story where I made this prediction in 1997. And I saw a virus successfully mutating and becoming something that affects humans. And it begins in migrating birds here in the West. This is the road sign here in the West. So when you start seeing that this spring and in this fall, you get clobbered twice with this organism, and it starts affecting our poultry in the United States.
Right.
When you start seeing that, you need to be prepared for 2008, because you're going to get clobbered. After that point, you might have a few deaths here and there.
All right, so you're saying the mutation is going to occur in 2008?
In 2008, yes, it will occur then. That's when your highest probability is that the mutation will occur, because I see people dying in large numbers after 2008.
Large numbers.
Large numbers. Not a third of the human race. I would say
well,
no more than 10%
that. 10%
of the human race. 10%. No more than that.
Look. All right. A third would suggest other things are underway.
Well, we have ecological problems that are horrifying.
Yes, we do.
And that is going to do more. I see famine this year in Africa. Unlike that, I see famine, pestilence. I see all the things in Revelation that we're looking at. In terms of the end times, I see them happening now. But we created this because of a belief system and because of our ignorance. So we can reverse all this. It's possible. But we need a human killing tide to take care of our numbers. That's nothing that we can do about. We can't do anything about that. I'm sorry. Bad English there. You have me so excited, Art.
So are you suggesting that human consciousness directed with will and intent can change everything?
No such thing as fate, Art. It's all about choices, and we have to take responsibility for actions now. And with these prophets, with the prophets that exist today, such as myself, and each and every one of you listening now, you have an ability to make an informed choice by accessing the prophetic area of your brain to make a right decision. If we do it collectively, and if these paradigms shift just right at the right time, guess what will happen?
All right. David from Rio Rancho, you know, I get these little computer blasts as we go on, says, hey, Art, listen carefully to your guest. He's attempting to use mind manipulation techniques to assert himself on the audience, or even you, Art. Be careful. Well, duh, David, yes, I'm very well aware of that as I hear it. I know what he's trying to do, and he knows what he's trying to do, and would you really expect anything less? Welcome back, Aaron.
Welcome. NLP, it's no secret that I do employ the use of neuro-linguistic programming and other technologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The audience, of course, at this point in the show, generally gets to ask somebody like yourself a question. Now, this should be an interesting experience for you. Aaron, what do you expect?
I expect the people to love it. This is the entertainment part of the show. Of course, if the other part of the show is just fascinating, but I mean, this part, people love the war between the Christians and the evil one, I guess. I'm guessing that you're going to see a wide range of people who either support this, who are horrified by it, or deeply disturbed by it.
Let's find out. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Carl. I'm calling out of Ohio. I was wondering what Aaron sees for the Native American population to come about with all this, and I'll hang up so I can listen to the answer.
All right. He's asking about the Native American population. As all of these things begin to happen, what will become of them, Aaron?
I love that question. In fact, I love the Native Americans. The indigenous people are not just here in the United States. They're in Russia. They're in Africa. They're all over the world, and they are deeply connected culturally and spiritually with the earth. If you're connected with the earth, you will survive. The Native American Indian who is connected with the earth the most will have the highest probability of surviving. For example, those people who were hit by this horrible tsunami. Those people who are connected with the earth, the indigenous people, ran up into the mountains. The animals knew instinctively to run up into the mountains. The people who are disconnected from the earth stayed down on the beach and looked at this and let it hit them. This is a great analogy for what will happen to the Native American Indians who remain faithful and connected to the Red Road, the path of the earth, the path of being connected with our great mother. In our mythology as a Luciferian, we believe that we're born the primordial soup, that this is our mother and our father is Lucifer. So we deeply respect the earth as the Native Americans do, and we know that if we connect up with the earth, we will survive.
And so they will survive.
I bet they will.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My name is Fargo. I'm calling from New York State.
All right.
And I just wanted to say that when I first heard about remote viewing and I heard Ed Dame speaking, I got very excited. And I...
Where'd you go?
Oh, no.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Hi. Did you just hear me before?
Yes. You said you got very excited
about Ed Dames and the whole possibility of being able to remote view. And as time went on, and it seemed like much of what he was saying wasn't panning out, and being off by 1,000 miles and calling it hits. And I then heard you interviewing Aaron, and I thought, maybe there's something a bit better. So Aaron, now that you've gotten me and probably a bunch of other people excited about this pan, I go to your website and it's really unclear. Are you actually about teaching it? Is there some way that we can actually learn this from you?
You bet. My sister, Jennifer Sharp, is actually teaching online. And if you go through my website, you'll see where you can sign up to learn lessons. And we give you the base program of remote viewing. There's no one in the world that knows more about remote viewing than my sister. She's a certified remote viewing instructor. She, too, was trained by Ed Dames and myself. And she knows PAN.
Because I clicked on it, and there was no links to signing up.
I'm sorry, it's the show. There's so many people.
We
have a separate computer that deals with that. I'm guessing that we have a rush of people signing in. If you email me and give me your name right now, this is your first name, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll get 10,000 people doing the same thing. I'll know who you are as a psychic. Email me, please.
Okay.
You go to my website and find that email address, and I will make sure that you have a place, because I have a really good feeling about you. You can do PAN. I think you have an ability, and you have a spiritual calling. You know you can feed your family with this.
Great.
You're in a position where you really need this. And this is not, you don't have to trade your soul for something like this. This is something you can do regardless of what background you have. You got to leave your belief system at the door if you're going to do this, because PAN will not allow a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist to enter.
Mm-hmm.
You're screened at the door of your belief system. You got to leave it there. But if you can do that, and I got a feeling about you, I think you'll be very successful. And it isn't difficult for you to learn. And yes, we are teaching people and screening people right now, and I need more women, because I have just truckloads of men signed up for this. And, of course, I love women. You have no idea how much I love them. So I would love to see more equality, and I would like to see some of my top students to be female. And that would help the whole planet.
Sounds
really,
like
because you're going to be a future leader.
Sounds like a date.
Thank you.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Good.
All right. Take care, and thank you very much. And
good.
I'm sure you'll recognize her when she pops in, wherever it is.
She'll remind me.
Your psychic ability. And by the way, on this soul selling stuff, or trading, is there anything really to that, Aaron? Is there a magic little moment where, well, I mean, we did talk about the perfectly possessed, where they make a decision within themselves. It doesn't have to be spoken, or the devil doesn't have to appear, and you don't have to sign a paper. It just is a done deal.
Aren't these are fractured people? It doesn't mean they're defective. It means something went wrong, usually in third trimester when the soul begins to be expressed. There's only one soul, and we all share it. What happens is some of these people are fractured. If they're molested as children, you can damage their psyche to the extent that you can fracture. You can fracture them, and they are no longer a soul person. They are shells of being, and those are the people that are chosen. That those are the people. It's not a choice we make. It's a matter of well, ultimately, it is a choice we make. You're right, Art. You're right about that. But when it comes to possession, if you don't have the light of the soul in you, you're vulnerable. One-third of the human race right now, these are people who are shells of beings. They were either molested or something happened to their psyche that does not allow them to express the soul completely.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Yes, my name is Dragon, and I'm on the East Coast.
Dragon, speak up good and loud.
Okay, yeah, Aaron, I'm a huge fan of yours. In fact, I listen to you every Sunday on your internet radio show, which is fantastic, by the way. And since I've started listening, I've become a Luciferian, and the change in my life has just been phenomenal. Great things have happened to me, and I feel very positive. I noticed that your movement is more about nature and saving the earth and saving humanity and saving the soul. And so I really must thank you for that. It's a wonderful movement.
Well, thank you, Dragon. That's wow. It's quite an honor. Thank you for the compliment. And wow, that's uplifting to think that we get. That's thank you very much. That's very nice.
Really, yes. Well, thank you. And
all right. So this really has changed your life. In what way? Are you materially better off? Have things started going well? What's the deal?
Well, let me say that there was a time when I was really searching in religion, looking for truth.
Yes.
And I never really found it, and I never felt any true, real religious experience until I met Aaron online, and it was phenomenal. Aaron taught people on the Internet, on his radio show, how to open up their anahata and to connect with Mother Earth. And since I did that, I've noticed that I am more connected. I feel it. I feel it in my heart chakra. And my third eye, I think a lot of people who listen to Aaron start to resonate with him, and they feel this good thing. It's a totally good, totally positive thing, and they even start to feel their third eye chakra.
So you're not at all concerned you've made the incorrect choice?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, this is the movement of the future. As soon as more and more people get turned on to this and see the light and the truth, they'll realize that the angel has been deceiving them for at least 2,000 years.
Well, indeed, angels have been known to be tricky. All right, thank you very much. Well, so far, so good, Aaron. I expected raging distemper, frankly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
My name is Steve. I'm in Northern California.
All right.
I'm so happy that you've gotten over your animosity towards people called Steve. my question for Aaron, I feel that you have a lot better ideas than the people who are involved with any other religion with which I'm familiar. I myself have no belief system. I simply seek the truth and always have.
Well, sir, we're on the same page there.
Okay.
I'm also a seeker.
One question I want to ask you, though, is, if you can predict the darn lottery 11 times in a row, why aren't you a billionaire?
I'm on my way, sir. I guarantee you I'm on my way. I'm going to be the first to do that. By the way, this is very difficult work. Most people think it's like a television. You just turn on the TV and you can see it and it's easy. It takes me hours to render one symbol or one number.
I understand. It must be very difficult. Let me ask you one further question, if I may. I'm fascinated with dinosaurs. Could you comment on dinosaurs?
Yes, and the one thing I want to say, by the this odd you would say that. Are you psychic? Do you have an innate ability?
No, because he's already gone. So dinosaurs, out of the blue.
I was just thinking the same thing. He connected with me. How odd that. It's very odd.
Really?
Well, now, the thing about the dinosaur is this. I really wanted to tell people, and I forgot to say that during the show, so thank you, sir, which was, look, when you're looking at all this extinction that happened at the end of the Cretaceous period and so on, there are species that survived immense changes on the Earth through the end of the Cretaceous period. Through all, it survived. Those same species are dying today. So if you want to put things into perspective, how different the planet is today in terms of eco death and destruction because of man-made conditions, it could be nothing else. You have species that survived amazing calamity at the end of the Cretaceous period that are now going extinct.
Okay. International line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Good morning.
It's Cretaceous period, not Cretaceous period.
I thought I said Cretaceous period. Did I not say that?
You said Cretaceous, but it's Cretaceous.
Oh, I stand corrected. Thank you. You're correct.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, about this whole demonic angelic possession thing, it's... You haven't really supplied all that much proof on it, though. Is it... Like, I'd like to hear a bit more proof to get me convinced that, you know, angels are really working against us or whatever you're saying.
That's a worthy question.
Yes, it is a wonderful question. By the way, it takes years of personal experience to gain confidence in what you're seeing. You must question everything, especially as a magician. Now, what I'm talking about is years of experience. The only way you, sir, can learn or understand or believe what I know is based upon experience alone. That's why you need to learn what I know. My door is wide open for you to investigate this personally. That's why we teach online. We teach you to look at this objectively. And by the way, I want to thank you for correcting me.
No problem.
Yeah, because it's deeply appreciated.
Yeah,
English is very important.
I just noticed things like that, so yeah.
Well, that's why you'd be an excellent practitioner of Pan. And by the way, you can use Pan to investigate these other paranormal regions. And you can judge them for yourself on your own because it's the only way for you to know the truth. Now, collectively, we all come to the same conclusion that, to me, is approaching level two truth.
All right, so in other words, you're really telling him that there is no proof you can offer him now other than perhaps the lottery numbers you hit or whatever. He's got to experience this for himself.
Well, right from here, through the Internet, he can't touch or experience this thing the way he can firsthand. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I do have proof, by the way. I haven't released the movies of the demons. I have not released the movies of the UFOs that we have called down. There are many things that I'm not ready to release, but when I do, they're undeniable. Right now, I'm only allowed to release the proof that I can see the future through numbers. Now, if I can see the future through the lottery and prove it to you, then when I say the Earth is dying and you look at the empirical evidence, you look at the data that's available today, then you can come safely to a conclusion and join me into level two truth and say, yes, he's right. We're in trouble. Let's do something together. Let's really raise consciousness and do something about this problem. We have first identified it. So I do know that people who pay attention to detail, such as you do, would be an excellent practitioner of Pan. And so I want to invite you to learn this. To explore it. And of course, I have proof, but there's no way I can do it.
You remind me of a few of the old managers I had at call centers. But thanks for the offer, anyways.
All right.
If you're mentioning this, I mean, it's almost like you're just poking fun at it, not really making a clear, concise point about it. You should actually come here saying that you're going to do something instead of say, well, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Why did you call unless you're here to mock me?
I'm not mocking you, man.
And what's your point?
You made
your decision before you called,
after
correct?
I called and as I was listening.
Yeah, so
but
you made your decision before you called.
I came with the question about the...
Yeah, great.
All right, caller. Thank you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Good morning.
Oh.
This is William from Detroit off of CKLW.
Yes, sir.
I just got a question for Aaron.
when you, aside from being in contact with Lucifer, you mentioned the Praetor Human Intelligence, and I was wondering if this was the same one that Crowley had spoken of, and if so, what's the best way that you recommend for tapping into this?
The best way to tap into this is to match resonance. And the number one way to do that is to know its frequency, to get in touch with its frequency, and you can do that by either getting involved with TAN and learning its frequency directly through looking at some of these numbers and understanding how they relate to you, or you can develop technology to do this, but I recommend that you learn magic, that you learn thyself. Learn to connect with the earth and connect with the spirit forces that are teeming all around you. You don't have to take LSD to see these things. LSD only works because this is chemistry that you can produce in your own brain through your repeated
exactly
thought patterns. And open your third eye to see.
Okay, caller, what was that?
Yeah, now, you didn't answer the first part, though.
What was the first part?
The Praetor Human Intelligence that you get in contact with aside from Lucifer?
Yes.
Is it the same one that Crowley had in the new eon?
It is, in fact. It's the one that gave us, in fact, I never answered the question about that, and it's a good one. And that has to do with the Liber Avaligis, the code in that book, yes, is the very same entity that Crowley actually drew a picture of.
Well, I was just ready to jump into those endeavors when I called. I got one last question, if I may.
Sure.
Have you ever thought about putting together musical intonations for the 72 keys of the Goetia?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. In fact, that's what our music project is about. That's the true name of Lucifer, by the way.
Excellent.
And so in our music, we can literally express the name of Lucifer. And when you experience our music in any of our concerts, we use technology that can give you the altered state. You don't have to take drugs or break the law. When you leave our concert, you'll be normal. You can drive. You'll be captain of your own ship, but you'll be under the influence of our technology. We're going to be using brain entrainment technology as well as light color frequencies that affect the brain in such a way, including suggestions, the way we present our work, and the actual name of Lucifer will be in our music.
Excellent. See, that's what I was curious about. Now, would this be the same as what would be the Shaham Paresh, or would that be the opposite end of the same intonation?
Oh, well, you know your stuff. By the way, it's identical.
That's what I was curious because I had never actually come through with the precise intonations, but by looking at these and some of these things, like, for instance, that Zalewski had with some of the extracurricular work on the Golden Dawn, I had kind of looked at both aspects, and they appeared to be the same bridge, but from two different entrances.
There have been several attempts to get there. I finally got there.
All right, listen, you guys, I've got to break this happy little meeting up.
Art, thank you. Thank you again, Aaron.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you both, and hold on. Two things before we return to the calls. One, Aaron, I want to give you a chance to plug anything you want to plug. You've got a website, I know, and anything else?
Well, I certainly don't want to sell anything, but we do have classes that we offer to teach all the basics of remote viewing, psychic functioning, on up to TAN. And that will be with Jennifer Sharp, and you can go to ummo.cc, and there we've kept the prices so low, no one can compete. I believe it's under $10.
Really?
A month, yes. And
really?
You can learn that.
Let me get that out. ummo.cc, is that correct?
Yes.
.cc, okay. And so for $10 or whatever it is?
$10 a month. So we're keeping it low so people all over the world can learn this. And we're doing this through a video conference. So you can connect up through your Skype or any other way and actually get a video teaching course from Jennifer Sharp, who is a world expert. No one knows more than she does about remote viewing. So she's teaching all the basics, and we're screening people. And for the lucky seven, you get to join me personally for PAN training, and we're hitting the world lottery. We're going there next.
How do you become one of the lucky seven? What's the criterion for
talent, attitude, such as the poor fellow that I still think I said crustacean, didn't I? Anyway, the
yes,
talent, I think he was just being the wrong end of a human being, the part where we eliminate certain toxins. That's what he was.
Oh, I see.
Typically, I find a lot of people like that, very antagonistic. If that attitude enters, sometimes I'll let those people learn.
Actually, I think they've been kind of easy on you, all told.
I know. I appreciate that, everyone.
Well,
thank you.
One never knows. First
this
time.
This is very popular, by the way. I have thousands of people from all over who are just dying to meet me. This is very, very popular, and this is a movement that will take over the four great religions, guaranteed. We're on the very ground floor of this thing. I'm just beginning to explain it. Now,
and for those, who, of course, who don't join in, they'll have to go to re-education camps?
Well, yes. That's for the new world order,
yes,
the new government.
That,
in other words, people who don't participate or not involved with the spiritual movement can't be trusted.
Yes.
It'll be like that poor gentleman who's so sour and bitter.
So he's an example.
His disease, and he doesn't know yet, but he'll soon find out.
Oh, boy. So he's an example of somebody who will be looking on the wrong side of the barbed wire.
Oh, wouldn't you just love it? I would love to see him on the wrong side. And I probably will.
First time caller line. Your turn with Aaron Donahue.
Hey, yeah. I was wondering how Lucifer relates to, like, the Olympian creation tale with Uranus, like the god of the sky who came and mated with Gaia, because it sounds very similar to me.
It does.
It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And by the way, this mythology goes way, way back. And like I say, these mythologies are created to teach us about who we are. It doesn't mean they're the exact truth. It's about our spiritual and psychological evolution. Today, mythology, and I agree with Joseph Campbell, the late Joseph Campbell, mythology is in trouble because people are not developing their own mythology. They're not working together on a collective truth through their daily rituals. I would like to change that. I'd like to make mythology popular again. We need to develop our own mythology. And in the Luciferian Order, we've taken the world's great mythologies and brought them together to explain the existence of human life, where we're going, why we are here. And you know, mythology is not about something that's false or deceptive. It's something that cross-culturally everyone can relate to. And because of that, we can be unified in level two truth.
So without mythology, you really can't get your foot in the door.
No way. You really need to understand more about yourself and the culture you're involved with, where you come from, why you're here. You need to start questioning that and look at your mythologies. Look at your old mythologies. They're very, very important because within it is truth. It's not the truth, but within it you'll find it, such as the divinity within each and every one of us. There you will find truth.
All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air to find whatever truth you can get from Aaron. Hello.
Well, truth is obviously what's so. And it's also obviously so what, and I love it. So there.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you for having Aaron on. Aaron,
sure.
Thank you for being on the planet. It's a better place because you're here.
Oh,
and
thank you.
To clear up two things, first of all, my calico cat will explode and destroy the Earth before Planet X does. The other thing to clear up is the stuff you were talking about the terrorism. Here we are almost in March. Aaron covered this on the New Year's show in his short prediction segment.
Yes.
Okay. And if somebody wants to sign up for the PAN training, it's very simple. It's psiomni.com, psiomni.com. So, anyway.
Thank you, sir.
All right, my question is this. The Bible thumpers rant and rave about demon possession. The real scary thing is angelic possession, and you've touched on this. How widespread is it, and how afraid should we be?
All right.
Very afraid. This has been a problem that has been encroaching on us. These spiritual parasites have been attacking us literally, psychologically, and physically for over 3,000 years. And in other words, they know that image of the mother with that child is repulsive to them. We are a threat to the angelic realms. They are supposed to be serving us. We do not serve the angel. We need to stop feeding the angel by loving it. If we stop loving the angel and start loving each other instead, the angel will die. That's the key to killing angels. Stop loving your angel. Love not thy angel. Love thyself in order to best love others.
Aaron, I once had a Satanist on this program that I'll never forget. A young lady. I don't know if you ever heard a replay of this or you heard the original program or maybe never heard it at all.
Not
but
at
she,
all.
She was a Satanist, and she said that she was working as hard as she could to see to it that her young child would join her in hell.
For her, that may be real. To me, it's symbolic. Now, I was a Satanist. I mean, I practiced the seven deadly sins, and I did so honestly. That's what I love about the Satanists. They're honest about it, whereas a Christian often is a hypocrite.
Well, that's there's something to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, she has developed her own mythology, and Satanists do that all the time.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people. They really are harmless, wonderful people.
Certainly got to put a chill down my spine. I mean, you could hear the absolute conviction with which she said it, as much as any Christian praising God.
From a Satanist? You bet, Art, and the thing about it is it's teaching you something about fear. It's opening your mind to what this really means.
All right.
And it doesn't mean that it's literal.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Good evening, Art. I met you in New York, and my name is Kevin, and I hear you on 1110 WBT, and a wonderful guest.
Hey.
Mr. Donahue, two questions for you.
Sure.
Who is the Maitreya, and what's going to happen on 6606? Kathleen Keating says he's the Antichrist, and I would like it if you got her on, by the way, Art. Love her. Love what she does. But what is your position on Maitreya, Benjamin Krem, and 6606?
Yeah, that's a good question. All right.
It is.
Maitreya?
Maitreya, no comment. As far as Benjamin...
No comment.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on his work, but I can tell you that there's a lot of holes. But I'm not here to denigrate other people or to make them look bad. I just wanted everyone to join together and kind of help out this planet problem we have.
A lot of people asking about 6606.
Nothing.
Nada. Just
nothing. Zero. I don't feel it. Don't see it. It's not in my records.
All right. West of the Rockies?
I might find something tomorrow, but right now, if it was big, I would have seen it. Not there.
Well, West of the Rockies, you're on.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
And hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi. This is Steve Oak calling from the Portland metro area.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Wow.
Art, I have to tell you, the first time I listened to Aaron C. Donahue was on an October 2003 show that George Norrie did, and again on the February 2004 show that you did. And I was just breathless. Aaron spoke right to my heart. And ever since then, I have been following him. And I am currently learning from his sister. And I have to tell you, the things that I have seen and heard are just astounding. They're hard to say that they are not real. And I have to tell you, after perusing his father's site and his site, it's just amazing. Art, you cannot believe it.
I'm beginning to get the vibe here that Aaron has loaded the phone lines with people. Did you make any?
Actually, no, I did not.
You didn't?
I'm deeply surprised. I didn't even know you were going to have phone callers. I knew there was so much that I was going to talk about.
Well,
we didn't finish it, but. I'm really surprised. And Steve, I love you. You're wonderful.
You are my brother and friend in Lucifer, Aaron. Art, I have to tell you that this guy is the real deal. I have been searching for him since 1987 when I had my spiritual epiphany. I was religious. I come from a Roman Catholic family. And I went through almost all of the Christian-based religions, including Full Gospel and Southern Baptist, Nazarene. And I could not find what I was looking for. I was ordained into a Wicca coven in Germany in 1987 by a lady who actually got Wicca into the Air Force Chaplain's Handbook. And I still cannot, I couldn't find it then either.
All right.
It wasn't until I heard Aaron on your show, and I was just, it hit me like a thunderbolt.
All right, got it. Thank you very much. Another supporter. International Line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh. I'm sorry, I'm not on the international calling from somewhere, international calling from the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, well, then I have to zap you like a bad dream. I'm sorry. First time caller line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Hello, is this me?
That's you.
Yeah, forgive me if this is too personal, but is it true that you were found by your parents in a dumpster?
That's for Aaron?
Well, if you look at what has happened is there's the idea that I've been left for dead. And there's a personal story here that I'd rather not go into because I love my parents.
I'm really not interested.
And I don't want to.
Yes.
Well, that is a hell of a story, though. Is there something to that, Aaron, without going into...
No, there is nothing to that. To take that literally, it's wrong. I love my parents, and I respect them deeply, and I wouldn't say anything negative about them here before millions of people. So I realize the question is very interesting. There's an aspect to this that has nothing to do with my parents, but rather the type of environment that I'd been thrown into that did not appreciate my spiritual knowledge.
So
I was born with my spiritual eye wide open.
So it was metaphorical.
Yes, you could say,
okay.
That you can't blame one's parents for
right,
that.
Well,
you've got to love and respect your parents.
All right,
let me
ask this. How have your parents reacted, if it's not too personal, to the path that you followed?
I'll tell you, originally they were born-again Christians and hidden within that. And they refused their own psychic abilities for the longest time. And I deprogrammed them of their religion in about 5 minutes. It took me 5 minutes
five
to deprogram
minutes.
Them. And now they were instantly reborn and aware and awake. And now their spiritual eyes wide opening. And they're amazed and alive and happy. And they're growing spiritually on a daily basis. They're excited by life.
So you reprogrammed your born-again Christian parents in 5 minutes.
I can do it to anyone in 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes.
Oh, you want to be deep?
No.
Really?
No. Wild card line.
Wait.
You're on
wait
the air with Aaron Donahue.
I always like when you have Aaron on the show. It's like I become a Luciferian for that short amount of time that he's on. I think there's a lot of truth that he speaks. And I wanted to ask the question of if Lucifer is our father.
Oh, you have a real bad line, sir. Real bad line. The question was, is Lucifer our father, right?
No, if Lucifer is our father, is Mother Earth hell? And is this why we're earthbound, that all we can travel, as far as we can travel, is the moon? And when we die or when we leave here on Earth, do we go to another dimension or what?
Okay.
Okay.
It's a wonderful question. And by the way, when you die, there are many, many dimensions. And I can tell you that you don't have to die right now. This is a unique time in human history. The subject of death is immaterial right now. It has, pun intended. Right now, the subject of death makes no sense because you have a choice now. Every death from this point on, because of a certain type of knowledge that's happening and blossoming, is suicide. Every death is suicide. You make the choice to die now. If you're going to become part of this, and become part of a cycle for eternity, or you will choose to become as nothing. You, sir, are very lucky to be a Luciferian, and you know what I'm talking about. That question is wonderful, because people need to know, A, never should you ever fear death. There's nothing there to fear. This is Malkuth, or hell, earth, because it's a state of mind. Even the Catholic Church has admitted that this is a state of mind. We are in hell here in Malkuth. This is hell. And we can make it heaven through our work, the great work. The thing about this is you don't have to die. And again, that's for another show, and I have proof of
okay.
this.
All right.
This comes directly from Lucifer. You don't have to die now. It's your choice. This has to do with some technology. It has to do with the time machine. It has to do with your genetic material, your cellular material, and DNA. And this time machine is essential to your permanence.
All right. We're toward the end of the program, and I want to be sure there's not something that you really wanted to get in tonight that you haven't.
There is, and that has to do with the fact that when you go back in time and you look at these grassy fields during the time when mankind was early there, the children, as we see, that were born with the third eye open, the large children, it was said that the daughters of men mated with the angels.
Right.
Well, actually, it wasn't the angels. It was Lucifer. What happened is the technology used to reintroduce us here now in this timeline in the past where we were into young women, early humans. And you see, it's this path that we learn everything here that's reintroduced as part of a vast information system. We are all systems of information with the eyes and ears of the universe to record this and to learn and to grow.
All right.
It's a cycle. It's
all right.
The ultimate cycle. You're now part of it.
East of the Rockies, your turn with Aaron Donahue.
Yeah, I'd like to know how the experiment with Gabriel used to hold and stop the other three archangels, how well has that affected them? And will the Gabriel eventually displace them entirely? And how will that direct human energies that have been directed toward the other archangels? Will Gabriel then become the medium through which all that orgone energy is redirected toward the great social change and other works?
All right.
Absolutely. The orgone energy, the sex energy, as Wilhelm Reich referred to, this again is the in a way a food source for the angel that's inside women. And if you can control her sexually, you can control her utterly. That's what this is all about in the Supreme Court. It's not about abortion. It's about controlling her sex. It's about controlling. And the angel wants control more than ever before. And we're going to take it away. Love not thy angel. Gabriel has actually turned against the other angels and has joined Lucifer. And what has happened is this is reorganizing the way religion is occurring. This is what I mean when I say that this is the year that Christianity will begin to die. You're going to see the four great religions start to fall apart. From here on out, you're seeing the very bitter end of it. And you're seeing a new system that's unified. A new world will be unified in the way that the angels are now unified. And so what has happened with this unification of the angels is you see the death of these four great religions, which were the religions to feed the angels. And so you have angels on the side of Lucifer, angels on the side of the destruction of mankind, and guess who's winning? Lucifer. This is Lucifer's planet.
Wow.
We are winning. And you're going to see a great spiritual change throughout the planet because of this grand change with the archangels.
All right. We are at the end of the program. So I hope that you feel like you got to say what you wanted to say in the hours we had.
Aren't you wonderful? Of course. There's so much more.
Well,
I could go on for another 10 hours.
Well, it sounds like you could, and I'm sure we'll give you another opportunity to come back and do some more.
Bless you.
I appreciate it, and have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Take care. Okay, there you have it, folks. That's Aaron Donahue.